Hey, I got some great news for you, Kevin.
Yes?
You thought we were done with talking to Eli Manning, Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, I was so sad when the Super Bowl was over.
I know you were sad because we enjoyed keeping up with him throughout the playoffs and, of course, after the Super Bowl. You thought that we'd be done. Well, now we have an excuse to get him back on the phone because apparently, according to the New York newspapers and People magazine, he is engaged to his longtime girlfriend.
Fantastic.
So I think congratulations are in order, and we have Eli on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Eli.
Hi, Eli.
Yes,
I'm going to hear your voice.
Hi.
Hi, Eli.
Hi.
Did you get engaged?
I'm going to be married.
You're
going to
be married.
Yes. She's a girl.
She is a girl, yes.
She is a girl, right.
She's a girl.
Now, her name is Abby, and you guys have, you were college sweethearts. You met back at the University of Minnesota, Mississippi, rather. You've been together for a number of years, right?
I went to Ole Miss.
What?
I went to Ole Miss.
Right.
Okay.
Not old.
Okay.
Oh.
Right, but I think the point is that you met her there. Right.
Yes, and she went to college.
She did, yes.
And I did, too.
Right, that's what you meant.
I am a college graduate.
That's what we hear.
Yes, you are.
Now, have you set a date? Do you know when you're going to get married?
Yes!
Okay. When is it? Eli?
1891. That's the date.
Oh.
That's 1492.
Okay, those dates are in the past.
1776.
Are you going to get married in 2008 or 2009? Do you know that? Eli?
What?
I'm 1-0.
You're number 10, yes.
I'm 1-0.
Okay, let's move on.
Her name is Abby.
Her name is Abby, right.
When I was little, my nickname was Abby.
Okay.
Abby Normal.
Okay.
Oh. That's what Peyton would call me.
Oh, that's sad.
Don't hurt Peyton. Don't hurt Peyton. I'm retard strong.
That's what I
Yes, you are. Yes,
now,
you are.
Now, let's change topics from you getting married to Madden 09. Apparently, you are going to be on the cover of EA Sports Madden 09.
What?
Video game. A football video game.
Where am I going to be?
You're going to be on the cover of it. It's going to be a picture of you.
No, I don't want to be on a cover.
It's,
what do they do, staple you to it?
No, it's just a picture.
Ow, staples hurt.
No, it's not your body.
One time I put staples in my head.
Yeah.
And after like 25, I stopped.
After 25.
Ouch. It hurt.
Wow.
Yeah.
Eli, it's considered a great compliment to be selected by John Madden to be on the cover of his game. Some of the great athletes like Vince Young and Michael Vick and Sean Alexander, guys like that, get on the cover. And it's a good thing.
Except for the curse.
What?
It's a good thing, Eli.
It's a compliment.
John Madden is fat.
He is fat. That's true. You probably don't want to say that before the game comes
He's
out.
Fat.
He is fat.
Fatty,
yes.
Eli. I'm Eli.
Yes, you. People ask us all the time, Kevin Bean, what does it take to be an intern on your program?
And the answer we give is always the same, poor judgment.
All right, we have an intern here named Moose. He retarded. Now, here's the thing about Moose. Great guy. Very nice. Good heart. Seems kind.
Absolutely.
Does he go to Chapman High? Is that his problem?
I don't know.
Yep.
Yes, does he?
He does, okay. Right, Mike?
That's
yeah,
the problem.
That's, clearly, he couldn't get into college, so he's going to Chapman High. So that tells you all you need to know about our friend Moose.
So they've been telling us out in the hall that you should hear him answer phones because he's not exactly speeding through it. And last week, we set a microphone in there, and we listened in on him as he was screening for a game. The game we were doing was a montage.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
It's clips of five songs. You got to tell us what the artist in the song is.
And we should say this, by the way. God bless Dave, the King of Mexico, who's the best phone screener a radio station has ever had. Dave gets it. Dave understands that you have to talk to thousands of people every morning. You have to be very on top of what's going on. You need to figure out a way to speed things up, get everything on hold so that we can get to it on the air without being mean to the callers. I mean,
right.
It's a tough job, and it's a difficult balancing act. And not everybody is able to pick it up as well as Dave has and Miss Cleo has and others who are good at it. Moose, it may not be in his skill set to juggle that many things at one time.
All right, so what you're about to hear is the room out there all answering phones just madly, trying quickly to weed out the people who don't have any clue what's going on, which unfortunately is a great number of people.
Right.
Trying to find people who have guesses, put them on hold quickly so that we can take them on the air so things don't drag out too long. So you got Miss Cleo. She's our phone screener now. You got Alex, who's our producer now. You got Dave, who's the former screener, helping, as well as Moose.
Right.
All four answering phones. to try and just burn through them and find the people that we need to talk to. And Moose is not exactly working at the same speed, perhaps, as all of the other people.
K-Rock.
Okay,
yeah, did you hear the montage?
Thanks. K-Rock, what's your answer?
How much is the fare?
Possibly, but do you have any guesses as to what the songs are right now?
Yeah, what is it?
Is that your songs in order?
Okay. Okay, now you can hear everybody else going, that those are your songs. Okay, hold on. You can hear him in the background. Moose still talking to the first person.
Unfortunately, we're looking for some.
It's just one time.
Give it a shot.
What's your name, though? What were your answers?
They are.
Dude, they're not even playing the show. Pay attention. Bye.
Here, Alex. Dude, they're not even playing the show. Pay attention. Bye. There are people who are completely clueless, and it seems harsh, but you do need to discard them immediately so you can get to the people who are actually playing the game.
Right.
Is it possible that Moose used to work in phone sex and all he's thinking about is how long can I keep this person
Could
on the
be.
Phone to make the most money possible?
Could be, because he's been now just listening for quite some time.
Hi, K-Rock, what's your answer?
Did you hear it?
Sorry, you're way off. Thank you. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye. K-Rock, what's your answer?
Let's see.
K-Rock, what's your answer?
Okay, just make a decision. What? Let's see. What is that?
Let's see how many calls Alex and Miss Cleo are burning through while Moose is on the first call.
But now he's gotten all the information he needs, and he can't make up his mind whether to put him on hold or not. Either they have the answer or they don't.
Okay, what's your name?
So then he takes the name and puts him on hold.
No. Okay.
Wow. So that's how it's going for him. Now, again, I want you to listen to the speed with which the other three people are answering phones and Moose.
Moose. Yeah, on the phone. Who's
the host right
now?
Killer. Shut up, bud.
It's the Killer?
Yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear the montage?
Shadow play. Thanks,
Did you hear it, though?
Okay, listen. What did they say when you said, did they hear the montage? Yes or no? Really, that's it. Then you got to burn. You got to move on.
And you got to see if they have guesses that puts them in the running to be on the air, period. And then that's it. You're not dating the guy, Moose. Come on.
Okay,
perfect. Let me hear what you think.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Kira.
I can't tell you that.
Other people moving on.
Yeah.
Line 5.
Sounds good.
Line 5. That name is not Dave. It dropped.
Yeah. No. What's your name?
People with the answer.
Marissa.
I gotta have one.
Right.
Okay.
How many keystrokes is Marissa? By the way, that was like a paragraph.
Everything Moose says. This is one of the things I've noticed because I've never heard him answer phones before. Everything he says is a question.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What's your name?
Uh-huh.
Did you hear the montage? Okay. All right. Everything's a question.
Where are you from?
Yeah. They're going to look for them really quick.
Here off.
And,
Here off.
So, what were the songs you heard?
So he asked her what the song was, then he asked her name, then he asked her city. Now he's going back to the songs because he forgot.
Yeah, because everyone asked her. Hello? All right, what's your answer to the montage?
Okay, and how about some of the others? Did you?
Okay, so it took that long for her to say one band.
Oh no, there are a lot of songs strung together.
Yeah. Wait a minute, didn't he ask her that in the beginning?
Yes, he did.
Oh, God bless Moose.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Do you have an answer for me?
Okay, so we have a winner, and Moose is still on the phone with somebody, and Miss Cleo says to him, point blank, hang up, because we already have a winner.
Right.
You don't need to talk to screen people.
Unfortunately, that's not right. Sorry.
He is operating at a different speed than everyone else.
You think?
Yeah. Cool. Who?
And then Miss Cleo feels bad that she yelled at him.
Moose,
sorry I yelled at you.
So, wait, what did you yell at me about?
Yes.
Oh.
She's sitting 1 foot from him. But you know what I like about him? Is that kind of hard work A young man can work up an appetite.
Dude, Del Taco sounds awesome right now.
Assistant producer Alex, the super whore, has joined us in the studio. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, good morning.
You have been the firewall of the Kevin and Bean Show for many years now. You are hard at work keeping, as hard as this is to believe from people who listen to the show, keeping things that are even worse from making it to the air.
Well, apparently my veto on your friend's voicemail was not strong enough.
Well, it's time for bad pitches.
Bad, 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 bad. Pitches for you.
Are you just trying to waste our time with your bad celebrity expert spokesman or public relations pitch?
Bad, 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 bad pitches for you.
Silly waste of time, dumb pitch. Damn it.
See? You know what's odd is that we get these emails all the time from different PR companies and stuff like that, and you read it and you go, really? I mean, I want to talk to these people and say, how many yes votes did you get on this anywhere in the world?
Look, it's not their fault. They have crappy clients.
Horrible.
It's not.
It's
like
not
a record
fault.
Label trying to pump a crappy band. You know.
You do feel bad for them, though, if that's their job, is if somebody's, and I don't know which pitches you have for us today, but somebody's written a book about, you know, healthy snacks to eat while you watch football or something. So they're trying to get interviews around the Super Bowl, and nobody wants to talk to that person. But you feel bad that that's their job.
I have something better than that, Bean. I have bird songs from around the world.
Bird songs?
Yep, featuring songs of 200 birds from the Cornell Lab.
Wait a minute.
Dude, it's a follow-up to last year's bestseller, Bird Songs, North American Birds in Song.
Is this a CD?
Yeah. Oprah Magazine says it's sweet music for serious birders.
Oh,
what? Dear God,
please
really?
Please dynify their audience.
So we can have the guy on, and he could, we can play little snippets of birds, and he can tell us why they're cool?
Yeah, we can talk to Les Beletsky, a great gift for all occasions.
I'm going with no on that one.
A great gift. Now
for
I know what to
burgers,
do for Christmas.
All the burgers, by the way.
Hey, guys, what are you going to do for Leap Day?
Leap Day? Okay.
Are you going to celebrate the year of the frog at your local zoo or aquarium?
You know it. With the Kevin and Bean party machine, year of the frog.
With the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, they're holding fun events and programs to educate people about amphibian conservation. You can investigate salamander habitats.
I believe we already heard.
All right, fine. How about the Gay Uncle's Guide to Parenting?
Wait a minute. That'd
be a good one.
A second.
The Gay Uncle's
Let's
Guide.
Let's not buzz too quickly on this one. Tell us
parenting.
Look, apparently, you know, gay people have been telling hetero people how to dress, eat, and live with, like, Tim Gunn, the Fab Five. So why wouldn't they tell us straight people how to parent? Come on, breeders. Read about the sassy, funny, in-your-face guide. What?
The Gay Uncle's Guide to Parent. Can I buzz it now, B?
Well, no wait.
Yes, because now you can. Yes, we've heard it now.
Because we can hear why. We can finally admit that babies usually smell funny, accept it, and move on.
Come on with that.
That's a chapter.
Why would they? Who are these people?
Okay, this one actually comes from a listener.
Okay.
Nick Heinley? Henkel. I can't tell. It's weird. Okay. But he's got a new product called the Fish and Flush.
The Fish and
Flush. Fish and Flush.
What? Damn it, Lisa. I knew you would.
What is it?
It's a whimsical pot.
First of all, don't use the word whimsical ever. Ever. That's never good.
Hang on. I'm sorry. I was looking at the picture while whimsical I was trying to read it.
Come on.
It's a whimsical potty that turns your toilet into a nautical wonderland.
What? It's an aquarium instead of a tank.
Instead of a tank,
with fish.
It's an aquarium. So you can pee and feed your fish.
Lisa, you realize you're acting excited about this.
I thought this would be funny to talk to this guy.
Because it's bad, you mean.
Yeah. Lisa, I heard you have a new blog, and you can talk about musicals and the Fish and Flush on your blog.
I can't believe Bean wasn't all over this.
So, when you flush, you feed the fish?
Yeah,
is that where it goes?
It's a safe,
fish-friendly
aquarium for your bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the water. It's the tank behind the toilet, and it's completely severed, not at all related to...
But that's where the water comes from.
There are live animals behind you while you're peeing.
So you get one flush, and then they're gone.
I don't know.
You need to get another fish.
Maybe that's how it works.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Very timely, like, you know, Ralph's love of Eddie Money. Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, what's he doing?
God.
Come on the show with his guitar and talk about his new book, Puff the Magic Dragon.
No.
Kill
me. Oh, wow.
So bad.
Kill me.
Send that one down to K-Earth or something, I think.
Now, this is my last one, and I have a feeling Mike might want to vote yes on this.
Then I'm voting no. I'm voting no, sight unseen.
But there's a new website called MyDamnChannel.com, and they have a new TV show called Cooking with Coolio.
I'm sorry. Did you say Cooking with Coolio?
Yeah, the Gangster's Paradise rapper has a new show, Cooking with Coolio. The ghetto witch doctor superstar chef is here to make you forget about every cooking show you've ever seen.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
This is a guy who used to have number one records, and now he's not only doing a cooking show, but it's not even on television. It's on the internet?
Yes, it's on the internet. You can watch it on the internet. Apparently, the residuals from Gangster's Paradise are not enough, so he's got to cook shrimp online for you to watch.
Does that give you street cred? I'm not down with the rappers today. Is that what you need for street cred? Is your own cooking show?
I don't know, but no, it's Cookin', apostrophe.
Cookin'. That makes all the difference.
Guys, you may have buzzed too quickly. I may want to vote yes on talking to Coolio. Come on.
Can't have a party without Coolio.
Yo, what's up? It's Coolio with the Flow of the Neighborhood. Ghetto Witch Doctor Superhero down to go toe-to-toe with any Hank, Frank, and Joe straight from the 4-0. T-H-E-V-Z, Foley Thieves in the house. Mass Circle for life, baby.
Okay,
ladies
gentlemen, Coolio. Thanks for coming by. All right, yeah.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. And there's no end to Bean trying desperately to have a next career.
But this is one I think I can handle. Listen. Now this.
You know, I think I would make a good president. And
yes, you do.
I can't seem to get much support for that idea. This is Bean's idea. He thinks...
But why not? Why wouldn't I love the news and I love television? Tell me a better combination of things that are in my wheelhouse than being a TV news anchorman.
Well, first of all, you have the look. And that's good. Because you have
that hideous hair
that's long and just looks like it's you're just a bum on the streets. At least you got that going for you.
I assume they have people. They have makeup and hair people that make you pretty for the camera, don't they?
But you refuse. I mean, we go into a nice restaurant. You refuse to wear long pants. Are you really going to put on a shirt and tie and a jacket?
You don't have to wear long. You can wear underwear, just boxers, when you're sitting there behind the desk. Nobody can see your
legs.
But
a shirt and tie, dude.
Yeah.
I can wear a shirt and tie. All right. We asked the producer Lightning to line up an expert in this field so we can find out how realistic my dream is. And he came up with Jeff Michael, who, of course, is the weekend anchor on Fox 11 at the 10 o'clock news and the weekday reporter. And Jeff, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great. Thanks for joining us. You've been with Fox for how long now, dude?
I've been with Fox for, about 8 or 9 years, and before that I was over at KABC for about 8 years.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Okay, so you got a lot of experience. You've been doing this for, you know, like 25 years or something. You've been in the news biz, right?
Right, yeah.
Don't you love it when people give you the respect that you deserve by saying, hey, that looks easy, I could do that.
Oh, yeah. What I love is when interns come dressed for work thinking that one of the anchors is going to fall over dead and they'll be asked to just slip right in and do the job.
Sure, that happens all the time.
You just read, right? That's what Bean said.
No, do you really think so?
That's what Bean thinks, yeah.
No.
Well, here's what I think, Jeff, and this is why we wanted to have you on. I mean, this is a fact-finding mission here. I think that there are anchors who are actual reporters who actually do the hard work and make the phone calls and write the story. But I think there are also blowhards like Paul Moyer who come in 5 minutes before his shift and sits down and they spray the fake tan on him and he reads on the teleprompter and he goes home at 11:30.
Which one do you want to be, Bean?
I want to be the Paul Moyer one.
Blowhard.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You tell me, Jeff. I mean, what's really involved in being a TV anchor?
Well, you know what? I think it's what you make it. I think that you're probably right. There are some anchors out there who probably do walk in a little late and read the news. But I think most of us try to do our own fact-checking. We try to edit our own copy, write some of our own copy.
That's the problem right there, is that Bean, who is a grammar Nazi, would drive everyone that he works with out of the business.
Absolutely.
You know what, Bean? I do the same thing. And they hate me for that. I'm a grammar phobe. I have all those little books on my desk.
Jeff, you'll agree with me. If you're going to put it on television, what's the harm in taking an extra 20 seconds to make it right? I mean, that's all it is why say it wrong if you can say it right? I mean, that's all you're saying, right?
Exactly, yeah. But I just don't know why you would want – why would you want to leave your little abode and go on TV, for crying out loud?
Jeff, I'll tell you that because he thinks that it would be a lot less work, that he would just be able to show up for 40 minutes total, you know, 10 before, 10 after, 5 before, 5 after, and just walk in, walk out, and be done.
It would be easier than never leaving your house, which is what he does now. How is that easier, Bean?
Look, this show takes a lot of hours out of me, Jeff. I got to be honest. I'm getting old. I don't know that how much longer I can hang on, dude. But tell me about your day. Like if you're doing the 10 o'clock news tonight, for instance.
I am. I'm anchoring the 10 o'clock news tonight.
Okay.
Great. You're at Fox 11 tonight at 10. What time will you show up at work today?
I get in at 3 o'clock. I get it at 3 o'clock to do that.
That's not good for me.
3 o'clock?
That's not going to work for
What do you do from 3 to 10?
Yeah.
Mostly my hair. No, no, I'm kidding. you know what? You read a couple of newspapers. You go through the wires. You have a couple of meetings. There's a budget meeting.
How much say do you have on the stories that are covered on the nightly news?
How much say? I think that the anchor's opinion counts probably as much as anybody else's. I don't think you have a lot more say.
My man Bean has various interests, and I can guarantee you that no one will share his interests. He will bring up story after story after story, and it'll drive you out of your freaking mind.
So in the meeting, for instance, let's assume I'm the anchor, Jeff, and I'm sitting down with whoever the editors-in-chief are, whatever you've got over at Channel 11, and I say, guys, it's time to revisit what's going on with Pluto. Let's do a Pluto story tonight. Let's give that 10 or 15 minutes on the 10 o'clock news. That's the type of thing that they would just automatically nix. I wouldn't be able to overrule and still put Pluto on the TV?
Yeah, I don't even think that. I think that there'd be about 5 seconds of silence and move on. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
They won't even nod his way, will they?
Well, and Bean, you've got to keep your opinions to yourself.
Oh, dear God, that's not possible. It's just not possible. He's got to speak up, and he's got to theorize on every story that's out there.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah. Do you have to be likable, Jeff?
Well, they sure want you to be.
Yeah, that's another problem.
It'd be good if women liked you, too, right?
Oh, that's another problem.
Jeff, have you run...
You never get picked to be on a jury. That you know.
Yeah, well...
Oh, that kills me right there.
This time either.
Jeff, have you had any trouble? You talk about the impartiality that's expected of you as an anchor. Have you had any trouble where you've had to report on a story that you've had some problems with the way it was presented, and you just had to kind of sit on it, or has it turned into a fight? What sort of stuff happens behind the scenes?
You mean if I don't like the way we're reporting on a story?
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think that you if I think that we're reporting on a story in an unbalanced way, I mean, no, I don't sit on it. I have to say something.
Oh, dear God, Bean will drive you people crazy. Yeah, oh, it's intolerable. Oh,
well, and Bean, I think you'd have to change your name back to your to whatever
to Gene?
The other name.
That's
is.
Fine. I'd be Gene Baxter. Sure, I'd be fine with that on the news. I'm not married to Bean. All right, let me ask you this. So you've been doing it for like 30 years.
No, let's go back to 25.
25, okay.
25 years, all right. You've got and I have been doing it for zero. You've got a bachelor's degree in mass communications. You graduated in 81, so you've got credentials. I, of course, am a college dropout. I don't know how much that's going to work against me. Realistically, if today's day one, how long is it going to take me to get your job, Jeff?
You know, I think if you work hard, you could probably do it in about 15 years.
Wow!
He has to work hard.
I'm not going to be alive that long.
You've got to start in a small town.
Nope.
Yuma is a good place.
Oh no, no, no! That's not going to work for me either.
I think that's a good answer. I think Yuma is a good answer.
But Bean has all this radio experience. Doesn't that count for anything?
What?
Well, I think the radio thing helps. I got to tell you, I just don't think it's going to carry him though.
Yeah. They want you to have some news credibility. Basically, they want you to be able to write a story. Is what you're saying.
You should have some news credibility. Although sometimes I have to, we all sit back and wonder how some people do get on the air. But
Paul Moyer,
not our choice.
Paul Moyer. Now, Bean would have to ad lib at times on long quote breaking news stories in stuff that he hates. Like, for example, he cannot tolerate the fact that a car chase is on TV.
Well, okay. No, you know what? Bean and I are on the same.
Okay, that's fine. But can you keep that to yourself while you do it?
When I'm on the air, I do. But no, I'm with you on that one, Bean. I hate those things. I think,
well, it's absurd. It's
right,
crazy.
An intelligent person can sound stupid inside of about 5 minutes.
No, it's not that. It's not that he'll sound stupid. It's the disdain that he has for people who would watch that would come through loud and clear.
Here's the thing, Jeff, and tell me if I'm wrong about this. You and your staff work hard all day long to put together a solid newscast to entertain and inform your viewers at 10 o'clock on Channel 11, and then the entire thing gets thrown out the window because a guy's driving a 7-Eleven truck or something down the 405. I mean, that's just an insult to the viewers who tune in who want to see news that affects their lives. Don't you agree?
Oh, you put me in a tough place. I think that that's a tough call on our part. I think if people turned off when we put those chases on,
never going to happen.
You would see fewer of them.
Too entertaining. Yes. But see, Bean, here's the thing. You have that idea. I know that that's what you believe. But the guy in your earpiece is going to say, keep going, dude. Just go with the car chase.
Oh, this is This is getting harder and harder the more we talk to Jeff. I want to do this less and less.
Why don't you just be a brain surgeon? Let me just move on to that. That seems simple.
Well, it makes my job a lot more secure. So
no, you were never threatened, dude.
You know what, Jeff? Having you on, you may have talked me out of it, and I hope you're proud of yourself for shattering the dream, dude.
Well, hey,
now what about Thompson? His job's easy. Can I just do the weather instead?
Now that's a breeze.
Show up, you're there for 5 minutes, you walk out. It's the same thing every day here. It's going to be, you know, sunny today and 70.
70, yeah.
Right. And Thompson keeps his jacket in the studio. Have you ever noticed it's always the same one?
No, I have not.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, Jeff, you're off the hook. I'm coming after Mark Thompson next. Please join our friend Jeff Michael tonight anchoring the Fox 11 10 o'clock news. Great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show.
You too, guys.
And I want to apologize in advance for any little emo kids who have the radio on right now. Prepare to cry. Oh, wait, you were going to do that anyway. A few days ago, we got on the topic of the emo kids. There was a Fox News story about the very disturbing trend that we, frankly, are against. And I think we were very outspoken about saying, don't go out and beat up emo kids, videotape it, put it up on the internet, and then send us the link where we can see it. That would be wrong, and we do not encourage you to do that. If you're a part of a video like this,
emo, get him.
We don't want to have anything to do with it. And then somehow we got on the topic of the emo jokes that are going around. And there are a lot of them, and they're great. And we need to bring them to you on the air, because nothing's funnier than an emo kid. And as Lisa points out, they're already sad. Why do you have to make them sadder?
Do you have that clip of the girl that's talking about the birds? Because that was a perfect example from that news piece.
Everything is falling apart, and, like, birds are dying. I mean, birds are dying, and it's like, hard, you know, to like wake up every day and know that like there are bad things happening, and this bird was just like a symbol of that.
Yeah,
right.
So why would anyone want to joke around about a poor emo kid like that? But then, you know, people started writing us, you know, how many emo kids does it take to screw in a light bulb? You know, F them, just let them cry in the dark. I saw that one. And by the way, speaking of how many emo kids does it take to screw a light bulb, the alternate version is you need 3. 1 to replace it and 2 to write a poem about how much they miss the old one. So there's a lot of different ways you can go with the emo kids. How do you know an emo kid has been in your bathtub? The body is still there. It's no that. I mean, that's really more the kind of emo joke we're looking for.
Let's say good morning to Sean in Monrovia. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, Sean.
Hey. Emo joke.
Yeah, I have a emo boy in my family tree. He's been hanging there for years.
Oh, see
because
yeah,
got it.
See the twist that took.
Uh-huh.
Steve in Highland. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kevin DeBean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Steve.
What's your emo joke?
Hey, mine is how does an emo put on why does an emo wear his girlfriend's pants?
It was well delivered, but what's the punchline?
It's the only way he'll ever get in them.
Oh, I gotcha.
See, Lisa, because he doesn't have skills.
Right.
Oh, never mind.
Right. Then how does he have a girlfriend? I don't know.
Laurel in Newport Beach. Hello.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Laurel.
Emo jokes. What do you got?
Okay, why do emo kids wear their pants so tight?
Why do they wear their pants so tight? I give up.
Do you pump all their heart or blood to their tiny little hearts?
Okay.
That's okay.
David, what do you got?
How do you keep an emo kid from drowning?
How do you keep an emo kid from drowning? I don't know.
Take your foot off his head.
That's a good one.
That's terrible. That's an awful joke.
That's a good one.
That's not even funny.
So don't do that.
Take your foot off his neck. All right. Nick in Simi Valley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Emo joke. What do you got?
Why do emo kids wear hair over their face?
Oh, good question. I've always wanted to know why.
To hide their black eyes.
That's good.
I wonder if he saw Spider-Man and the emo look that he had going.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man had the eyeliner.
Emo Spider-Man, exactly.
And he pulled the hair down over his eyes. I was like, what? Spider-Man's gone emo? Are you kidding
me? He has. He's got the black costume, the whole deal. You're absolutely right. He's listening to My Chemical Romance albums.
Jamie in Irvine. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, why did the emo kid cross the road?
When did the emo kid cross the road? Right. I give up.
To get run over.
Okay. Maybe we'll end there. Maybe that. Maybe
what? You're going to end on that one?
The drowning might have been our peak.
Yeah, I'm worried that we're going downhill fast. I'm worried it'll get worse if we take Joe's call.
We can't end on why did emo cross the road. Joe?
Yes.
Give me a good emo joke so we can get out.
What would you call the Flintstones if they were emo?
What would you call the Flintstones if they were emo? I give up.
All right, what?
Pussies.
I don't get it.
What is it?
Because pussies. Because anybody who would be emo, you would go ahead and just call them that.
I didn't even hear that word.
I thought he said posties.
All right, let's try. I did too. Let's try Jake in Redondo Beach. Good morning, Jake.
Hey, emo kid came home from school and told his dad he lost his virginity. His dad said, well, son, you have any questions? He said, yeah, I got one. When's my butt going to quit hurting?
Aww.
Okay. All right, just one more. We got to go out on an up note.
This is going to be a good one.
You think Jeff and looking into Gail, you feel good about him?
I do, yes.
All right, Jeff.
Go ahead.
All right, what do you have when you have an emo kid buried up to his neck in cement?
What do you have when you have an emo kid buried up to his neck in cement?
Mm-hmm.
I give up.
What?
Not enough cement.
Okay, all right. All right, there you go.
Not
that's
enough cement.
We're sorry, emo kids.
Don't
cut yourself.
No.
And it seems like every time we talk to our next guest, we find out something else crazy about him.
Did you know that Michael Jackson was supposed to perform on the final American Idol? He was set to perform and called 24 hours ahead of time and said, I can't do it.
Ooh.
How would they have had to bump ZZ Top or Bryan Adams to give Michael Jackson a chance to come out?
Yeah, because you don't want to bump either of them. So Michael Jackson said he had stage fright. Now, this is a guy who's
been on stage since he was four.
He was on stage when he was a little kid. He's been on stage his whole life.
Yeah.
He says, quote, I can't do it. Everyone will hate me.
Wow. Everyone already hates him. It doesn't have anything to do with whether he comes out on stage or not.
It doesn't have anything to do with American Idol. I can tell you that right now. It has to do with Jesus juice and little boys.
Yeah, of course.
That might be why people don't like him.
Well, and he's a freak. I mean, to be able to sit and actually look at his face for a length of time, we haven't done that in a long time.
How could he possibly be afraid? Like. I mean, honestly, how could he be afraid?
He's looked in the mirror.
Yeah, could be.
Well, he's looked at the man in the mirror, come to think of it.
Nice.
We asked producer Alex to light up the great Michael Jackson. It almost made my foot loose.
Come on.
Michael?
Get out!
You okay? You all right, buddy?
The man in the mirror.
Yeah,
see, because that's one of your songs.
That was one of my songs.
That's right.
That's why that's funny, see?
So, what's all that racket in the background there?
It's not racket.
What is it?
What is it? What's going on?
The water dripping off the walls of the cave I'm in right now.
Are you hiding
in a cave?
I'm hiding.
Because you're afraid?
I'm afraid to be in public.
Yeah.
I'm hiding in a cave.
Right.
Right.
Like Osama bin Laden.
Right. That's what it sounds like. I don't know how that helps anything. I mean,
because I can't dare be in public. I'm afraid everyone will hate me.
Now, is that because of your horrible plastic surgery or because of your child abuse charges?
Neither.
Neither.
Because of all the lies and stories that have been told about me that are lies and stories.
Mm.
And people believe them and then they turn against me and I'm just overwhelmed by everyone's negativity.
Michael, when you have done best, when you have benefited from your talent, is when things seem to go well for you. Why not make a good song or make up a new dance or go on tour and make people happy? Why not give people music to talk about rather than all the craziness?
Why don't you make up a new dance, Michael?
Make up a new dance? Okay. Now, the electric iguana.
Like you do sometimes. You used to be an innovator in music and dance.
I made one dance, the moonwalk. That's it.
Yeah. Right, but now you don't do anything. Now you just show up at UFC in a burka. Why don't you get out there and start doing music or video or something and give people something to talk about?
I'm afraid. I'm scared.
I'm scared of?
Just being in public.
Yeah.
Everyone will hate me.
Because of your horrible plastic surgery?
I missed out on so many things that I was going to do and had to back out of last minute.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, American Idol, the finale.
Right.
I was supposed to do that. I had to back out the last minute.
Scared.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to be John McCain's vice presidential running mate.
Really?
Yes, but I had to back out because I couldn't face him.
Yeah.
He wanted someone to make him look blacker. So he wanted me to be vice president.
Because you're more white than he is.
I was going to co-star in the Sex and the City movie.
What?
Really? Well, that doesn't make any sense. Back out at the last minute.
What were you going to do there?
I have a fear of horses.
Oh, no.
I was once kicked by a horse on the Neverland Ranch.
I can see that.
Every time I see Sarah Jessica Parker, I wet myself.
That's a normal reaction.
I can understand. Yeah.
I was going to join the Meet the Kardashians cast.
You're not a Kardashian.
By joining the family?
They were going to adopt me. I was going to be the sixth Kardashian.
Wow. Huh.
And then Bruce Jenner and I could compare plastic surgery.
Right.
Yeah.
Mistakes.
Yeah. I was going to fight Kimbo Slice last Saturday night.
You were not going to fight Kimbo Slice.
I was.
Your ear would have exploded, Michael.
I was going to fight Kimbo.
You were not
going to
fight.
I was going to fight Kimbo, but I couldn't, I didn't want to be seen in public.
Yeah.
I was going to carry Clay Aiken's baby, well, but I backed out at the last minute.
Why?
He's gay.
Too gay?
Yeah. And I decided not to take the job as Universal Studios fire safety inspector.
Well, that maybe you should have thought about it.
Yeah, maybe I should have done that after all.
That was a bad choice.
I couldn't have been there.
Yeah. Doesn't seem good. Michael, what's it going to take to get you out of this funk and get you right with God again?
More Man in the Mirror jokes, I guess.
We're Frey Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
Wow, I'm surprised you said all that so well. Well done. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock. It's Wednesday morning. We got this email earlier today. I think it bears repeating. Dear Kevin and Bean, on behalf of Donald J. Trump, NBC, and the Miss USA organization, I would like to ask if Kevin Ryder would be interested and available to be our show's announcer for the 2007 Miss USA pageant. The pageant will be broadcast live on NBC from 9 till 11 from the Kodak Theater in Los Angeles on March the 23rd. Kevin would announce our opening titles and all of our bumpers throughout the two-hour telecast. So the date is quickly approaching. I would love to hear your thoughts sooner rather than later. Kevin, you got this email in your box yesterday and said what?
Well, I deleted it because I thought it was a joke.
You figured it was Jimmy Kimmel or somebody playing a prank on you?
Yeah, I just thought somebody was making fun of me because of the Grammy thing.
You're not suggesting it's not a joke, are you? I'm sure it's a joke.
Well, we thought we got to find out who on earth would be trying to get Kevin on the Miss USA pageant. I mean, not that it's not a tremendous honor, but clearly he's unqualified to speak for professionally, right?
Right.
So we asked Lightning to line us up somebody, and we have Phil Gurin on the line. He's the executive producer of the Miss USA pageant, which again airs Friday, March 23rd at 9 on NBC. Phil, thanks for joining us. I know you're very busy this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me. Good morning.
So, 56th annual Miss USA pageant is happening a week from Friday, and you're saying goodbye to the party girl. Tara Conner's gone, right?
Tara's, you know, she's come through a lot this past year, but we are going to definitely say goodbye, thank her for all the good things she did, and, you know, wish her well.
Okay. Yeah, well, she has done more for Miss USA than any Miss USA contestant I can think of in a long time, my friend. She was a gem. So, right now, you do not have an announcer for the show for that Friday night?
No, we do not, we're really excited here.
Based on...
Phil, have you personally heard any of my announcing?
Personally? Well, I listen to you on the radio.
Yeah. Hmm. Really? That didn't dissuade you?
Because that would have dissuaded me. That's almost dissuaded us from having him on the radio show, much less anything else. Phil, I mean, don't you want somebody who's dynamic and exciting and can translate the energy of your pageant to the home viewer?
Well, yeah, that's why we want Kevin.
And don't you want someone whose voice cuts through? That would be helpful, right?
Look, I hate me more than these guys do. So I thought it was a joke because of we've played very publicly a lot of screw-ups that I've had working on the Grammys. And there's no possible way anybody else could actually want that type of announcing.
I disagree completely. We love the quality of your voice. We love who you are, at least what we publicly know of you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Listen to Phil. This is crazy. Hey, Psycho Mike, do you have any of the tape available? If we have time, let's just play just a minute or so of what you've got from when Kevin was in the booth for the Grammys.
Shit. Coming up, Shakira and Wyclef Jean. Mary J. Blige in a once-of-a-lifetime performance. To vote for Africa Miranda, send the number 1. To vote for Brenda Radney, send the number 1. Send the number 2. Coming up, Shakira and Wyclef Jean. Mary J. Blige in a once... God damn it. Mary J. Blige in a once-in-a-lifetime performance. Sorry, people. I think it's... Yeah, I also think I screwed up the word 1.
Phil... I think what we're saying is you don't know what you're doing, and we have to have, as a friend, we need to come to you in an intervention capacity, and we need to say, we're not going to allow you to eat that last piece of chocolate cake. You need to push away from the table. You need to, you, seriously, you need help, and we need to say no on Kevin.
Well, I
certainly agree I may need help.
Yeah.
But this is an official offer, and we think Kevin would be great for it.
Are you just looking for laughs? Is that it? You just need to... People are a little depressed. You want to give them something to laugh at?
You know, if you're the help me out here, Phil. Phil is the executive producer of the Miss USA pageant on the line talking about next Friday's pageant. If you're the guy who's doing the announcing, don't you have to be able to pronounce all of the states plus the District of Columbia?
No, actually not. We have our the folks are going to be on camera. We're going to do that. Kevin's going to we're going to protect ourselves. We're going to have Kevin pre-record all his announce.
That's the only
smart.
Way to go. Yeah.
Time-consuming, so, but smart.
We don't have to worry about him saying it's Miss Ohio or anything like that, right? He'd be fine.
Not at all.
Pre-record.
Well, the problem is it's only 9 days till your show. There's no way you can get it. You can lay it all down and edit it in time for the telecast.
I do require a full month of pre-record time.
Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey. Wow. An unforgettable performance by Corinne Bailey. Boy, I sure can't say her name. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey. Kevin, Phil says it's a serious offer. He's on the line. He's got to go. What do you say for the Miss USA pageant next Friday night?
Phil, I'm going to have to talk to you later because I have big reservations about this. So,
can you say, you know, live from the Kodak Theater, it's the Miss USA 2007 pageant?
Questionable. It's questionable at best. I'll take your number and I'll call you, Phil.
All right, well,
I'll call you,
today.
It's
a serious offer. We'd love to have you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, you're very kind, Phil. I think you're in a little way making fun of retarded kids when you're doing this somehow. But we appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show with us.
Hey guys, thanks for your time.
See, nice guy. He's doing a real job. He just doesn't know he's in dangerous territory.
So I read my Los Angeles Times on Sunday. I buy it for the word jumble. And I see an editorial in there from Oscar-winning actor Sean Connery, who I don't expect to see in my newspaper.
No.
And it's all about the fight for Scottish independence, and it's very complicated. And I didn't really understand it, but I thought, let's find out what the hell's going on with Mr. Connery. And I believe we have him on the phone right now. Hey, Sean.
Well, if it isn't Siegfried and Roy, how are you? How's that trick coming where you make one of your disappear on the other guy's
Come on.
That magic trick, you
Wow.
Why are you coming at us? Look, we're having you on because we want to promote Scotland's independence, as you wrote about in the LA Times this weekend.
Scotland forever, my
That's what you've been saying. Yeah, exactly. Now, I know you're Scottish and all that junk, but why are you so involved? Why do you care at your advanced age whether Scotland becomes independent or not?
Because the Brits are I'm tired of their tree and their ways, ruining my country, my homeland.
But what is it they're actually doing? I mean, it
they're
seems...
Well... Oh, and don't forget the...
Oh,
wow. A lot of that.
Sean,
a lot of going around in England.
Oh, Sean, we got to kind of not use language like that.
By the way, opening up at Coachella.
Well, you know about Coachella. Excellent.
So, Sean, you wrote this very passionate article about how you've been waiting your whole life to see Scotland become independent. But do you even live in Scotland anymore?
I visit.
No, he doesn't.
So you don't.
He lives in the Bahamas or someplace.
All right, listen. Listen, Mr. Fancy Pants, show up late.
Wow, he knows a lot.
Where, do you live in the Bahamas?
I have homes all over the world.
Right.
Okay.
Are any of them in
one
Scotland?
One in Spain and the other in the Bahamas.
So, are any of them in Scotland? Good question,
England
Lisa.
England has a tax system which is not conducive to my Scottish thriftiness.
Yeah. Well, it is absurd. I mean, they do tax rich people like 90%.
Another reason I'd like to see Scotland break away from England.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't tax me out the hole.
Right. So do you anticipate, I guess you've got a government in place right now that seems serious about pursuing this. Do you think Scotland's independence will happen in your lifetime, Sean?
I believe it's right around the corner. Because, you know, we've been an independent country longer than we've been connected with Great Britain.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to the day that we return as when they penned the Declaration of Arbroath in 1320. And we said these famous lines. It is in truth, not for glory, nor riches, nor honors that we are fighting, but for freedom, for that alone, which no honest man gives up, but with life itself. So, my...
Was that... Wait a minute. Was that last part of the statement?
William Wallace said that.
Wow.
You can take my life, but you will never take my freedom, so my...
They cut that out of the movie.
Yes, I know, because...
They did.
Mel Gibson's a...
In the year 1320, how old were you, Sean? That was right after Goldfinger, right?
Oh, aren't you a funny surprised I can hear you so clearly when your is usually full of a big black
Oh, wow.
Here's an idea. My Scottish
Well, okay. So
I got some haggis for you.
I bet you do. So you've written this editorial in the Los Angeles Times. Are you doing anything back home to try to make this a reality?
Well, back home for me is the Bahamas.
Right. Yeah. That's right. I forgot.
So I'm drinking a lot of pina coladas, and I'm f***ing the out of some black chicks.
Wow. Well, you're doing your part then.
Oh, now, give me some every time.
Sean, for God's sake.
I'm telling you, it's hot. Well, it does smell like Fritos.
Oh, come on. Wait a minute. Who's there with you, Sean? Who is that? That sounded like our guy Omar.
That's my butler, Omar.
Oh, you have a butler?
Who works here at the estate in the Bahamas.
I see. Wow, he gets around.
All right, Sean, well, I guess good luck. It doesn't sound like it's going to affect you in any way.
Good luck to you.
I'm just saying, you're not even going to move back if they get independent.
I hope Big Boy continues to kick your ass in the ratings there.
I like to think of ourselves as helpers. We are there to support you.
Let's talk to Anxious in Arlita. Is that what's up next? The K-Rock listener who's in such bad shape emotionally that he's writing to the Kevin and Bean program for advice.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, that's not the best idea. Hello?
Hello?
Is this Monty?
Yes, it is. What's going on, guys?
Monty. Monty. Monty.
No idea.
You know I've got to be desperate if I'm calling you guys, if I'm emailing you.
Monty wrote this email. Dear Kevin, I have two kids and it's time to get snipped. I know you already went through it after you had the twins. I remember you said there was smoke. At the time, I laughed, but now I'm freaking out.
Sure.
The doctor said there is intense pain when you stick the needle in to numb you, and it's very uncomfortable for a few weeks after. Somebody else I know played tennis 3 days later. What was your experience like? Anxious in Arlita. You haven't done it yet, right, Monty?
No, not yet.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm going to be going on vacation in July, and they told me to wait till after the vacation.
You know, this isn't talked about that much, but 50% of people who go in for a vasectomy actually die on the table.
Did you know that?
Hey,
yeah, it's half. Half survive, half die.
And the other half, their penis falls off.
That's right. Well, Monty, I was trying to think about my experience, and it's been a little while, so I had Omar go back and pull the tape of when I came on the air and told the story about my vasectomy.
So I go in, and they make me put on a little robe. And he has an assistant, and they, get ready to...
What, guy or girl? What's
girl.
Yeah.
Miss Sweden 91?
Yeah, she's cute. All right, so anyway.
Wasn't that part of your fear? That's why one of the reasons you didn't want to do a show with the vasectomy is you were worried about, we'd be sending out hot chicks. And here you are trying to stay calm.
I can honestly say that this is the first time in my life
there was a hot chick around.
And I was too scared to even think about
it. Wow, that is serious.
I really was petrified. I was just sitting there. I was like starting to sweat.
It's not even like you were trying to talk it down.
No.
Please not now.
No, because I was too scared. I was too afraid of what was just about to happen. And then they pull up the little table, and they start uncovering all the prehistoric tools. And the guy says, this is going to be the worst part of it. And he stabs me with the needle. Now, this hurts. And all you can think as a guy is whenever something like this comes near you, you cover up, you move, you can't move.
You dodge.
You can't protect. You just have to sit there and let them inflict this pain.
Yes.
What's the doctor's assistant, Miss Sweden 91, doing at this time?
I don't know.
Yeah, you didn't even remember.
You just
had your eyes closed?
No, I was just like looking at the ceiling, and I was just like going, oh my God, this hurts, please stop. Then, right after that, he does something else that hurts worse.
Oh.
What did he do?
I don't know. I'm not watching. But I yelled at him. I said, ow! like mad yelled. I was like a dick.
What the hell are you doing?
He said, well, that sounded mad. I said, you told me the last thing was going to be the worst. It hurts. So then he gave me another shot.
Which hurt again.
Dude, three times, one side, no.
What was the thing he did in the middle?
He must have started with the surgery and you weren't that deadened yet.
That's what happened.
Shouldn't you wait a minute?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he's used to most guys' pain level, and I think I was worse. So anyway, he goes through that, and then he says, don't worry about the smoke. And I said, what? He said, don't worry about the smoke. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and there was smoke coming up from the penis.
No,
that's bad, right?
Yes.
And I didn't even ask him what he was doing. I take for granted what I don't know what they do.
And so right then, when the smoke started coming up, I started sweating like a dog. How long would you say the whole thing took?
15 minutes.
And
seemed like 4 weeks.
Do they stitch you back up?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch.
You don't know? You haven't
he
looked?
He hasn't looked.
I didn't watch. I haven't looked.
I haven't looked to this day.
So when there's smoke coming off your junk, you consider that a positive, right?
So, Monty, that's what you have to look forward to.
Hey, yeah, thanks.
I forgot. When did you say you're scheduled to do this?
Well, it's not going to be till after July.
After July, okay.
Just more time for it to settle in and...
Sure. Right. Now, I told you my experience, which is smoke and pain. And sweating, and I almost passed out.
But, Kevin, to be completely honest, though, in the interest of full disclosure, you're a real weenie when it comes to pain. I mean, you weep when you give blood, right?
It's not pain.
You're just not good with pain.
It's not pain at all. It's needles. Needles scare the hell out of me. That's what the problem is. I mean, I guess pain is a secondary result of that. But I can handle pain. It's just needles freak me out. And so when you get needles and you put them with the junk... And I'm not in control at all. You got to keep your hands away while they do what they want to do with a needle? No.
Bad combination. Yeah, I understand.
Okay, so.
Well, we got some fantastic calls, Monty. You're going to feel so much better after you hear from some of our K-Rock listeners who have been through it.
All right, Mike in Bellflower. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean and Lisa?
Hi.
Good. Help our man Monty. Tell us about your experience.
Well, I went in and he got me on the table, puts the needle in. That burned a little, but it wasn't too much for me.
Oh.
He waits about a minute or two, and he starts poking around. He says, "You feel that?" I said, "Yeah." He starts to cut.
What? Isn't it supposed to be numb at that point?
I don't think he was paying attention.
So did you say, "I feel that"?
Well, actually, I yelled something other than that. But, So he looks down at me and goes, "Oh, I think we may need to give you a little more." I said, "You think so?"
Yeah. So that then you get another shot with more anesthesia, so the fun just keeps on coming.
So he gets that, and then he starts tugging away on the plumbing. Now, I swear, I don't know where the plumbing exactly goes, but it felt like it was on the top of my stomach and ran down the sides of my leg.
Oh, my God. Oh,
wow. You felt that everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, you know, I didn't see the smoke, but I sure smelt the burning.
Sure. That's how they do it. Yeah. They close off the vast deference or whatever it is.
Oh, my God. That's the worst. Thank you for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. How you doing, Monty? Good?
Oh, yeah. I'm great.
Let's talk to Mike, who went back twice, it looks like, here. Mike, good morning.
Hey there. Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May.
Hi, Mike.
Well, good morning. What happened the first time? Why did the vasectomy fail? You had to go back again.
Well, I guess just like any medical thing, you know, one time out of whatever, they fail.
It just didn't work. And you go back in for a test, right?
You go, Well, everyone goes in. You always hear about people going for the test, you know, a month later or whatever it is. And here's what that is you don't fire blanks right away. You reload with blanks.
Right.
So they come back and make sure your count's at zero.
Right. So you went back in and it didn't work. You still had a high count.
Right. So come back again in another month, come back again in another month, and after the third time, you know, the doctor wants to see you.
You had to go get another vasectomy.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, the second one was actually, you know, way worse.
They
cut away pretty good. They don't just snip the vas deferens, but they, you know, they hack out a chunk of it.
They take an axe.
Mike,
and they just...
You are the man, though. You are such a man. They couldn't keep you down.
That's right, man. Your sperm was too powerful. His sperm was jumping from one tube to the other tube without even a way to get through. It's like a car going off a freeway.
You are a stud. Thanks for the call, Mike.
That's great. Oh, I love Robert Mission Viejo, too. This is what you want to look forward to, Monty.
Robert, hi.
Hey, Kevin, Bean, and Lisa May. How are you?
Good.
What happened when you got a vasectomy?
Oh, mine was real interesting. I went in, and I had a great doctor. He put a mirror in front of me so I could watch it.
My doctor asked me if I wanted it. I said, no way.
it was pretty awesome because they go in and they dig in there and they pull out a piece of spaghetti and they just cut a section out.
Right.
But the great part is when they sit there and they cauterize it and that smell and look at the smoke and you're like, your junk's on fire. What do you do?
Yeah,
you
that's bad news right there. They actually do set your junk on fire. Now, what happened afterwards, after your surgery?
Oh, mine was really good. Afterwards, the first day didn't hurt too bad till later at the night, but the next morning I woke up and they were about the size of grapefruits. I mean, they were just huge.
Dude.
And so I mean, you couldn't walk. I mean, it hurt like heck. I mean, it was terrible.
The size of grapefruit.
Now, let me ask you this, Robert, because Monty in his email said that he's heard of people that take, you know, months to recover, and then he had a friend who was playing tennis 3 days later. How long did it take you before you were kind of up around and acting normal?
The swelling took about 2 weeks to go away. I had to ice it. They called the doctor and I'd ice it, you know, off and on every 15 minutes. So it's real fun icing them, too, let me tell you.
Right.
But I got out of bed for about 3 days, but I couldn't, you know, walk with pain for a good 2.5 weeks.
Perfect.
Wow.
That's a good story.
How long till you can have sex after a vasectomy, by the way?
Oh, I tried pretty quick.
It might have been a mistake. Maybe that's how they ended up like grapefruits.
Exactly. All right, thanks for the call. Monty? How you doing, buddy?
Yeah.
It'll be okay, Monty.
It's going to be fine. None of this stuff will happen to you. Or all of it will.
Don't worry. It happens to the other person, right?
Yeah.
Don't worry about what Mike's about to tell us from Redondo Beach. Good morning, Mike.
How you doing?
What happened to you?
Okay, what happened was is that everything went fine. It feels like they're pulling your intestines out through your nuts. And after everything was over, they stitched me up and everything. And about 2 weeks later, I ripped my stitches.
Oh!
I was playing with my kids, and they ripped, and it started bleeding pretty bad. Had to go back to the doctors, get restitched.
Yes.
And then about 3 weeks after that, the skin grew back over the stitches.
Oh, dude, yes. So that requires even more surgery to cut the stitches out, right?
Cut the skin to get the stitch out.
Great. Fantastic.
It was, yeah.
There you go. So you had to
Mike
go back.
Mike had his done by a guy in the back of a van parked out in an alley.
All right, Monty, we're kind of out of time, but I hope we encouraged you today. I mean, I hope you feel a little better about your surgery coming up.
Oh, yeah. It can't be as bad as those I've heard.
No. Right. Exactly. No, None of that will go wrong. So thanks for writing for some reassurance to me. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. That might be a mistake.
I'm just saying it could have been the best website ever, but the man is keeping me down.
I'm always the one in trouble, and I'm so happy that this is happening for Bean now. I got an email that I'm going to read on the air.
Okay.
And, Bean, you're going to have to tell us what this is about because I'm not exactly sure. They don't mention what Bean did, but I'm going to read you the letter that was written to Bean. It was also CC'd to me.
Okay.
And it's from the registrar company. I guess Bean owns a website that's getting him in trouble. Okay.
One of my websites is getting me in trouble?
Now, we hear all the time, oh, I didn't know that was real, that Bean already owns those websites. I thought you were just kidding. No, he really owns, like, I don't know, 25 websites or something like that. And one of them has gotten him in trouble. So I want to read this to everybody because this is going to be great. Dear Bean, please note that we recently received a complaint from a representative of the NAACP regarding your domain name. In its complaint, the NAACP requested that we cancel registration of the domain names.
Oh, black man can't own a website?
You're not black.
While we have the absolute right to cancel any domain name under our registration agreement with you, we have decided not to cancel the domain name at this time. Now, already at this point, I'm saying, what domain name is it that's getting them in trouble? So I'll read on. We do not wish to create the appearance that we approve of racially motivated domain names.
Like, what can they be talking
young
about?
Young, hot, and Asian.
However, he does have young, hot, and Asian, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Well, they're not complaining about younghothandasian.com from the NAACP, are they?
In fact, I wouldn't think so. We prefer not to be associated with any domain name that is obviously racially objectionable.
Okay.
Well, I don't think I have any like that at all.
Therefore, inasmuch as it appears that the domain name that you have registered with us falls into that category... we have discontinued any free DNS service we were providing in relation to domain names. That includes your use of the park servers, for sale pages, forwarding, and or masking. Our action prevents your domain names from being directed to GoDaddy.com. Now, we are sending this notice as a courtesy to you so that you can make changes in the DNS associated with the domain names if you so choose.
In other words, they'll continue to let me register it with them. They'll host it for me, but not. I can't put up a website using their services.
What? What have you done? What could the NAACP have against one of your websites?
Well, why doesn't the NAACP crawl out of my ass, for starters? What did I ever do to them?
But why don't they tell us what the website
is? Yeah, what is it?
List your websites. Go down. Bean really does own like 27, 28 websites.
And does something with two of them.
go through the websites that you own and read them to us.
Of course, I can't think of all of them off the top of my head, but I don't think younghotandasian.com is the one that they would have a complaint with, because who can have any complaint about young hot Asians? I mean, seriously.
Younghotandasian.com. Okay, so I mean, it's probably not that one for NAACP. Have you done anything with that one yet?
Not so much.
No. Are you planning to?
It depends if I can get the photo shoot set up with intern Chris that I've been working on behind the scenes. If that happens, yes, absolutely. They wouldn't have any complaint about andygibb.com, I don't think.
No.
Right?
No,
it's the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
Okay. I own EnglandDan and JohnFordColey.com, but certainly they wouldn't care about that, right?
Well, no, but they should just beat you on the head for having it. England Dan and what?
John Ford Coley, right? How about RickDSucks.com? Could that be it?
RickDSucks.
I don't think the NAACP is a big fan of Rick's, do you?
Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to protect him. No.
Okay. I wouldn't think so.
But it's about time to get rid of that one since he's a ghost.
Gone, yeah. RickDSUnemployed.com is the new one that I really had to... Rick Dees, sadly, is doing Toyota of Orange commercials for a living now is the new website that I ought to get. Let me see. Of course, Rick's boss over at KISS, RoyLaughlin.com. I still own that. But he's a jackass, but I don't think he would in particular be offensive to the NAACP. So that's not
so weird.
Of course, I've got Ryan Seacrest is allegedly gay.com. I do still own that.
Well, what are you doing with that one?
That one I really do need to get up and running now that he's on every TV show on Earth and has turned into just a giant tool. I really do have to get that one up.
So basically, you just buy these websites with these plans, these great big plans to launch all the websites, but you don't really do anything
with
them.
Well, he gets distracted watching TV.
Yeah. I do watch TV. But here's what it is, guys. Websites are my thing, but it's no different then. And who hasn't done this? Who hasn't been in a bookstore and said, man, I don't have time now, but I'm going to buy this book because I believe one day I'm going to have the time. I'm going to be on vacation or something. I'm going to be able to sit down and read this and really enjoy it. But you just never get to it because you're busy.
Right, but
your life is busy.
Yes, but you have to pay for these websites each year to renew them.
But they're so inexpensive. They're like $8 a year. Right. You know, it's not a huge...
So it's probably not Ryan Seacrest is allegedlygay.com.
Could it be Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.com?
No, they don't care about that. No one cares about that.
That's in it. KevinandBean.com.
Don't care.
JanelleMaloney.com.
She's an actress on The West Wing that Bean likes.
Yes, she is. Bean loves,
he
by
actually
the way.
Bought her website.
And creeped her out.
Yeah, we told her and she's like, ew.
PabloCruz.com, I got
Pablo
that.
Pablo Cruz, is he so
HalloweenSpooks.com, I have HalloweenSpooks.com in case.
What are you going to do with that? Why would you buy that? What are you going to do with HalloweenSpooks.com?
I don't know, but you'll never know when there's an occasion for that.
There's not going to be an occasion for a website. No, this is the worst song ever. I hate this song when it comes around that time of year.
Maybe that's what the NAACP is complaining about.
Halloween.
But why would you buy a website by that name?
How about this?
Wait a minute. We'll get to the list in a second. What do you plan on doing with that website?
Dude, I've got vision, man.
What is it?
I've got plans.
Give us a little taste. Drop a couple of breadcrumbs for us.
Yeah, but I don't want to spoil it because somebody else is going to get on my tip. You know how it is, man.
Yeah, sure.
Now, ClydeTumbaugh.com is one of my new websites.
Who's that? Is he black?
You know what? He's not. He's the guy who discovered Pluto. So I want to do a tribute site to Clyde Tumbaugh because he's a great American, but I don't think that would be NAACP territory either.
You're not going to do a website about a guy who discovered Pluto?
I am, because I thought that was very impressive.
Okay, not him. NAACP, they're upset about something. Tell me what it is.
Niggaplease.com? I don't know if that's the one.
What?
You think?
Are you kidding?
You own that? Please, you know.
You own that?
Yeah, that's one of that. I didn't even think about that one as I was going over the list.
That's what they're upset about.
Oh, you think that's it?
Of course.
Oh, well, come on with that.
What are you going to do with that?
What are you going to do with that?
Bean, what's wrong with you?
Yes. I don't have a full plan worked out of what I'm going to do.
But why would you buy that website?
It's just,
you really own that?
It comes up so often. I mean, in conversation, you hear people saying, and it's always funny. And I thought, well, there's got to be some use for nigga, please. You know?
How do you spell him, please, big boy?
Hey, Bean, shut up.
Bean, you're a shithead.
Yeah.
You think that's it? You
of
think
that's course the one? That's it because of the word.
Well, what's wrong with please? Black people don't say please. Black people are polite. What are you saying?
I can't believe you own that.
I hadn't even thought that might be the one. But
what could you possibly have been planning to do with that?
Bean's an ass. Yeah.
Well, I think the first thing I'm going to do is post a letter from the NAACP up on it.
That would be funny.
I think that's the first one.
All right, we took a call in Kevin Bean's What I Do Nephew recently from a guy who said that he dated a girl with a tail and it was a deal breaker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how dare him.
Here's
Nick, good morning.
I've had this booty call. She never wanted me to let me do her doggy style. I finally found out why. She has a tail.
Oh! No way.
Serious?
Yes, way.
And what happened once you saw it? What did you do? What happened after that?
I didn't say anything. I just kept quiet, but it's a total deal breaker now.
So he finished work and then went home for good.
Well, how could it be a deal breaker if he was able to finish work? that's not... Obviously, it wasn't that bad.
That's what he told us. Bean, on the other hand, well, that would be a huge bonus for him.
I wish there would have been a way for me to find women with tails when I was dating. Honestly, because it was before the internet when I met my wife, you know. But
Right.
Wouldn't it have been awesome if I could have gone online and I could have only gone out with women with tails? That way I would have been guaranteed to end up with one. Oh, that would be the best. I'm so jealous.
I think we're going to look for deal breakers. And the smaller, the better. You know what's small and what's big.
Oh, sure.
You know what other people would consider ridiculous deal breakers.
Yeah.
And this is one of them. It seems like, I don't know, personality and sense of humor and a few other things would come above tail.
Besides which, nobody else would know she had a tail, which to me is one of the things.
Yeah.
You know, if someone dresses really badly, everybody knows you're dating a dork.
Sure.
That's harder to do.
Right.
But if it's just something that you're the only person who's going to know.
Mm-hmm.
Not that bad.
Depends on how long the tail is. What if the tail is like 4 feet?
That's a problem.
Then other people would know.
Yes.
Then she could bring you more than one beer at a time. What's your problem with that? So we're not talking about the biggies. We're not talking about I couldn't go out with him because, you know, he was Jewish and I'm Christian,
right.
For instance. That's not what we're talking. That stuff happens all the time. We're talking about I couldn't go out with him because he slurped when he ate. You know, something that in the big picture seems like something you ought to be able to overcome.
Exactly.
His fingernails were a little too long and he wouldn't cut them. Something like that.
That happened to you, Lisa?
No, I'm just trying to think of weird,
personal,
stupid things.
Personal experience there you want to tell us about?
No, right. But that would bother me, actually.
Long fingernails?
Yeah, ew.
Yeah. Psycho Mike actually let his toenails grow just to gross his wife out.
Yeah, that's
on
nice.
Purpose. I thought that was a nice touch. So let's take a few calls. Let's say good morning to Jay in Rancho Santa Margarita. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa, man.
Hi, Jay.
Deal breaker? Ridiculous deal breaker?
Man hands.
Really?
So a chick had hands that looked like a dude, and you probably could never get over the idea maybe it was a dude.
You know, my best friend's sister is just drop dead gorgeous. She is 5'11" and just the most beautiful woman you've ever seen, but she's got these hands that look like a roofer.
She's 5'11", for God's sakes. I imagine your feet are big, too.
Does she know that her hands are man hands?
I don't know. She doesn't talk about them.
Yeah.
I can't let her touch me. It's just wrong.
Isn't that interesting? How
okay,
about that?
It's your best friend's sister?
Yeah.
So you're telling me without the man hands, you would have closed that deal?
Maybe 15 years ago, yeah. I mean, it would have been that long ago, but yeah, those hands, no. Sorry.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Interesting one.
I won't mention any names, but we know a girl who's very similar to what he described. Very, very attractive, but has the man hands, and you can't stop thinking about it. There's no way to get past it. Well, I'm not going to say. Let's talk to Matt in Yorba Belinda, because again, this is one where I kind of see where he's coming from, but it also seems like you ought to be able to get past it.
Well, it seems like there should be something you can do about it.
A conversation.
Yeah. Matt in Yorba Belinda. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Matt.
All right.
I had a girlfriend. She had two hairs on her nipple.
Kind of like the ones that grow out of moles.
Did you say anything about that?
Yeah, I mentioned it numerous times that maybe she wanted to pluck those or get rid of them. And she's a little afraid that they come in even longer and thicker, I guess. And she just never would. So every once in a while in the moment, you know.
You look at the boob beard and you say, can't do it.
Yeah.
All right.
And I just couldn't take it anymore.
By the way, nipple hair is playing Coachella. They're opening up.
Matt, would you say that really was, no joke, a contributing factor to the reason why you guys aren't still together?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
All right. That's exactly what we're looking for. The type of thing that ought to be something you can get past. And like Lisa said, Lisa, you're a woman. How would somebody approach you about clipping those or cutting those or pulling those and not get you upset?
Well, I might get upset initially, but I would take care of it.
Of course.
It would be upsetting at first, but then you handle it and you move on.
Yeah, okay.
All right, let's talk to Marissa. I don't think this is a small thing.
No, I don't either.
I mean, we were talking about the guy who called in and said the girl had a tail, and that was a deal breaker for him. Marissa, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Marissa.
What did your dude do that drove you away?
he was from out of town, so I wasn't used to, like, being with him. So he, one morning, the bed was wet, and I was like, what is going on? Why is the bed wet? And he played it off like it came from nowhere. I don't know. And I was like,
it came from nowhere?
Yeah.
So he said, I have no idea why the bed is wet, and he's a bed wetter?
Yeah, he was, like, not housebroken or something. Huh? I don't know what his deal was.
Wow. There is no explanation as to why we're laying in my urine right now. There's no reason I can think of.
I know it wasn't me.
And everything.
Oh, man. Now, see, that's not tiny enough. That, to me, that is a deal breaker.
Is a deal breaker. But let me ask you this, Marissa, because I don't know much about this topic, but it seems like that happens sometimes if somebody, like, drinks way, way too much and then they're just in a fog all night long. Or was this a regular thing that would have continued to happen with him if you'd stayed together?
I don't know. He just did it, like, he did it once, and being that he played it off and just couldn't accept it or whatever, I was just like, this is a weird situation.
You were out. Okay, I got you. All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
That's enough. I can see that. I can see, especially if he didn't at least cop to it and say, I drank too much or whatever.
Yeah.
I can totally see that. Brandy and Whittier, good morning.
Morning.
Talking about deal breakers that are tiny.
Well, my deal breaker, I think I have issues with my boyfriend's parents because they can't speak English. So I broke up with him.
What?
I would like to be able to talk to his parents, and I can't.
What are they? They speak Spanish? What do they speak?
They speak Spanish.
Yeah. Well, Spanish isn't that hard a language. You could have learned a little.
Yeah, don't you take Spanish in high school or whatever so you could learn that?
I took like 3 years, but it didn't help me at all.
Yeah. Hey, I feel you.
I feel you, sister. Hey, Brandy, did your boyfriend speak both?
He spoke a little Spanish. His parents were both from Mexico, but he swore he was like half white or something. I guess a little bit.
But wait a minute.
So he couldn't translate for you?
He could, but why would I want to do that? I'd rather be able to talk to them myself.
Okay, so you had nothing against your boyfriend. It was just that his parents couldn't speak English.
Yeah, just that his parents couldn't speak English.
Wow. Okay, Brandy. All right, if it ain't white, it ain't right, I guess.
You're bad. You're just bad.
Hey, Brandy. Adios.
Apparently, they'll just let anyone into radio.
Last week, Ralph, doing the showbiz, broke this story, and we were fascinated by the fact that KFED refuses to go away. Kevin Federline does not see the end of his 15 minutes anytime soon. And apparently has his heart and mind set on being a DJ at Kiss FM.
Oh,
dear God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, at least he'll be easy to ignore over there.
Is there anything a better match than that?
No. That's
apparently,
a good point.
Apparently he went in to try out or something. I don't know. We have him on the line just to try and figure out what's going on.
Okay.
K-Fed, good morning.
K-Fed's on the phone. Wiki, wiki, wiki. Yeah. Yeah.
K-Fed.
What's up, dog?
Let me address what Kevin said a moment ago. Why won't you just take the hint and go away? Why do you have to keep subjecting us to you?
Why should I quit? You know what I'm saying? I've been persevering all my life. I'm a survivor.
A lack of any success whatsoever?
You know what I'm saying? You could try to stop me. The critics have been doing this since I was, you know, a young rapper coming up. On mixtapes and things like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I got started in the crack slanging game, you know, if I just gave up when I got busted the first time for possession, or when some busted ass trick kind of tried to blast me on the streets, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have made it anywhere. Next thing I knew, I was moving metric tons of yayo left and right across the state from Columbia. You know what I'm saying? That's how I roll.
But you have failed at almost everything. You failed at your marriage. You failed at your rap career. What makes you think you're going to be successful in radio?
You know what they say. If you fall off the horse. Someone finish that for me.
Get back on?
Something about riding.
I think you're supposed to get back on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Picture me rolling
on
a horse.
Now, the report last week also was that you were dating Luscious Liz at Power 106. She's denied that vehemently.
Yeah, well, whatever. Whatever, she can deny it all she wants. I understand, you know what I'm saying? Like, at first, Brad and Angelina, they had to deny it, you know what I'm saying? Because when you high profile like us,
you know
what I'm saying? Like, when you high profile, you got to do what you got to do to keep the paparazzi from, you know, from wrecking your scene, you know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, are you putting yourself in the league of Brad Pitt?
Yeah, sometimes you got to be humble.
Right, but I think the difference is that Angelina wasn't embarrassed to be seen with Brad Pitt. I think that's what's going on with Luscious Liz, is she says, I'm hot, I certainly don't want to be linked up with Kevin Federline.
I know what you're saying, but look, she needed to find a different reason to explain why she was walking like she was horseback riding. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for God's sake.
That's all I'm saying. Here's public appearances, and I wrecked it.
Here's what I'm thinking is going on here, is that he tried to date Luscious Liz. She said no because he wanted to be a DJ at Power, and then they turned him down, so then he went over to Kiss. Now, according to the report, you have gone in and, what, produced a demo?
That's right.
I'm going to give a shot at your business, dog. You know what I'm saying? You and I can be colleagues.
Oh. Yeah. Now, did Ryan Seacrest help you out? He's over at KISS, right? Did he help you out at all with this?
Look, here's what happened, dog. I'm familiar with radio, you know what I'm saying, from my time with you and Bean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You guys always have me on. Lisa May done did the Dirty Sanchez up on her head, you know what I'm saying?
No, that hasn't happened.
You know, there's a lot of familiarity there.
That hasn't happened. And then,
pretty sure it hasn't.
Eyes, somewhere in my throat. So I had a lot of, and of course, because they've been spinning my records for so long, you know what I'm saying? That I had a lot of familiarity with radio.
Nobody's figured, playing like, your records.
Since I'm at a hiatus right now from rapping, I said, let me give it a shot. You know, so my boys and kids, they call me in. And look, I know I'm raw, I'm unpolished when it comes to radio, okay?
Right.
I'm a rookie. This is a tough biz, and I didn't just, it took me a while to try to crack this nut. So I went in with the producers at KISS,
mm-hmm.
and I tried to lay down a little demo tape. And
is that what I have here? Is your demo?
Yeah, I sent it over to you guys. Okay. Like, look, I mean, I'm not gonna fake the funk. You know, I'm gonna be real. I'm gonna keep it real.
You've never been real.
They weren't all that happy with my performance over at KISS, but like I feel like I got skills, you know. But you guys are professionals. I mean, you guys
sure.
been banging in radio for a while now. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so I figured
us
like
pros.
Maybe if you could listen to a couple of my breaks from my audition tape, maybe give
okay.
me some advice. You know?
Okay.
His first one, I'm trying to like intro a song right out of the legal ID. You know, top of the hour, I'm coming with fire. You know, I'm breathing fire. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the microphone. But I don't understand all these ins and outs of radio. You know what I'm saying? You might hear like the producer chime in a little bit on here, but just avoid that. Just listen to me and my skills and tell me what you think.
All right. Raw talent. Kevin Federline. Try out for KISS.
1, 2, 3, 7. KISS FM. Yeah, that's right. It's Kevin Federline. Pow, 45 minutes past the hour, coming right at you. I'm going to put my pimp foot forward and let the other one follow behind. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm still blacker than Wesley Snipes' pupils. And speaking of that, I didn't find America. America found Africa. You know what I'm saying? 400 years of oppression will not be forgotten. And I'm telling you that the revolution will not be televised. Do you hear me? Kill Whitey. Black people, unite and fight against the oppressive government that is holding us back and has been holding us back since...
K-Fed, we're going to need you to stop talking with the lyrics come in. That's the part where you cut it off and try to hit the post.
Oh, that's the part where I'm supposed to stop talking?
Yeah.
Bitch, I'm not doing it again. You do it.
It's your audition tape, loser.
Screw you. You're doing this to me because I'm black.
Cut the music.
F*** you and your mama, too.
Dude, come on.
Bitch ass honky.
Wigger scumbag.
Well, that doesn't sound like it went very well.
No.
K-Fed, I don't know that Kill Whitey is the message, though, that you need to be transmitting on the radio.
Like I said, you know, it's different. You know what I'm saying? Radio's totally different than when I'm banging on wax and when I'm in the studio making my albums. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get a creative freedom. You know what I'm saying? When I'm making music. When I'm on the radio, I got people that are coming down on me. You know what
right.
I'm saying? I got to fit the format. You know what I'm saying?
But,
and I learned as this audition tape goes on, you will hear that I started to understand a little bit the difference
you
in
know,
top 40.
You know,
what I'm saying?
You're white, right?
Shut up.
All right. What's second? What's the second one?
Always trying to refute my culture. Listen, the second one, I hit the post. Is that what you guys call it?
Yeah.
I definitely hit the post on this one.
Okay.
But I think I'm still a little too rugged, too raw for radio. I'm still trying to fit the adult contemporary format. You tell me.
All right.
Pow, 102.7. Kiss F easy. This is Kevin Federline. Keeping those turntables greasy. You know what I'm saying? This is a faggy little song by some queer. I don't know. I don't know who it is, but spit it at you. LA's number one hit music station, Kiss FM. Homo says sexy back.
I'm bringing sexy back.
That was much better.
I hit the post.
You did.
I think that works. I don't know how crazy they would be by some of the things you said about Justin Timberlake over there at Kiss FM, but I got no problem with that.
Yeah.
I hit the post as all.
You
I'm
did,
saying.
Yeah.
Now, look, guys. This is my last one. Out of all of the little breaks I did, I think this is my best one. I think I really found what it means to be a radio DJ.
Okay.
And this is me talking out of a song. This is what I ended my set with. And I really felt like there's a progression here. And at the end, I really became one of you guys. You know what I'm saying? I really became a radio DJ. Check it out.
All right.
Yeah. From Neasy, KBGBBI, still love that song. Gives me a funny feeling down in my leg. Right there in my ankle. Can almost say it made my foot loose. Ha ha! Pow!
Alright, that's
fine. Good God, y'all.
K-Fed, listen, you're not going... Right, you're not going anywhere if that's the kind of comedy that you're going to be doing. I'm sorry.
That's really good.
What do you think?
That's really good. I think you're going to get a job.
Yeah.
Well done. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. And the one thing that we know for a fact is that you cannot party until you're 21.
That's right. If you take that first drop of alcohol before your 21st birthday, I hear you'll explode.
All right, you know how you put a lot of importance on certain dates in your life? You know, Christmas, especially the famous one is New Year's Eve. Everybody gets to New Year's Eve, and they have to have great plans because this is supposed to be a great night. And your expectations are much higher than your average night. So people feel a lot of pressure to plan out ahead and make sure that they've got a good plan. And so when somebody else asks them later what they did on New Year's Eve, they have a better story than everybody else.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. And your expectations sometimes get so high that that event is ruined. Well, there's your 21st birthday. Now, this only comes around once in a lifetime. So this one's huge.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of pressure on your 21st birthday to have a good one. We were talking in the office the other day, and there were a lot of people here who had disastrous 21st birthdays. They were not good. The opposite of good. And of course, your expectations are so huge. Our producer, Lightning, is standing here. Lightning, tell us about your wonderful 21st birthday.
Is this thing working? Okay,
yep.
There we go. Well, it started out with...
I don't turn it on until the very last second. Go ahead.
Started out, we went to a... my mother took us to a dinner theater, one of those mystery dinner theaters.
Party.
Figure out who done it.
Party.
Yeah.
Party. Party. That does say 21st birthday,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Gay. Yeah, yeah, no drinking.
Gay. Gay, I know.
And it was so bad that we all knew it, and my mother felt bad, and she cried. And then we left, and I ditched the family and went to my girlfriend's house, and then she proceeded to break up with me.
On your 21st birthday?
On my 21st
party,
birthday.
Party, party, party. She made the right decision, I'd like to say.
Oh, she did, I'm
so,
sure.
So dumped on your 21st birthday.
That is brutal.
Yeah.
At least you're
bad.
Old enough to go cry in a bar.
All right.
I didn't.
Our assistant producer, Mike, what happened to you on your 21st birthday?
Well, they started off, my friends... I use that term loosely, took me to a strip club.
Yours is already so much better than Lightning's, yeah. Who went with his mom
to dinner theater.
To a dinner theater.
Right, go ahead.
And we went to a strip club, and I was just hammered by the time I got there because we had drank on the way over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they convinced me to do my own little strip tease at this dive strip bar. So when I take my clothes off and go to put them in the side of the bar, the strippers rip me off, take all my money. All the strippers gang up, take all my cash.
Party!
So then they take me back to one of my friend's house, and I'm comatose by this point. I mean, I can hardly move. My friends funnel like ammonia and all the kitchen products they can find into my body to make me vomit because they think that'd be fun.
Oh,
this is all on videotape too.
You have terrible friends.
No, yeah, and I said,
but I wish I was one of them at that point.
I could die. I could have died. They're like, yeah, you know, I guess we really didn't think about it at that point. So I start vomiting on myself and everything. Then they break out their genitals, and that's going all over the place. I'm getting Roman soldier helmets. I'm getting everything.
Party, party, party. And I'm sure they're taking pictures of all
that. Yeah, and you know, I'll be surprised if they don't end up getting sent to Lightning today.
Sure, of course.
And you know, then I'm getting drawn on with the Sharpie, and it's all over me. I'm covered head to toe. I had to miss work the next day because even scrubbing as hard as I couldn't get the Sharpie of Mike Love's wiener on his forehead. You know, and so
Said Mike Love's wiener on his forehead.
Well,
that's what it said.
It said a version of Mike Love's wiener in a more vulgar way,
of course,
and it said,
yeah.
You know, and there was pictures, depictions of
I love that.
Macabre and sexual acts and everything. So
that is fantastic.
That.
How could you not look back on that and say, guys, I had the best 21st birthday party ever?
I do now. After it's been a couple years, I look back at the pictures of Sack on my forehead, and I think, wow.
Good times.
Wow. How am I going to... Those are my salad days.
Sports guy money?
Yeah. I had a 21st birthday party weekend in Vegas, which was great.
Uh-huh.
Came back. I lived in a house with a bunch of guys, and they said, dude, let's go. It's time to party. It was the night of my 21st. I'd been drinking all day in Vegas. We go to the local bar, and they line up 21 shots on the bar.
Oh.
And say,
you were dumb enough
deadly.
To do them, were you?
You got a half hour. So I started working through them, and it was a mix. It was a salad of shots,
oh,
man.
No.
It was some tequila, Jaeger, whatever. Oh, you.
That's the worst.
So I got through, like, I remember getting through 7 or 8 and taking a break and kind of walking around a little bit. And then I got to 16, and on my 17th shot, I kind of gagged a little bit, and the bartender just goes, get him out now. So apparently I had peed my pants already.
See, that's good times right there.
Yeah, they took me out of the bar. I went home. I threw up quite a bit, and they took me to my then-girlfriend, surprisingly, now wife's house, and I showed up at her house with no pants on. Her roommate answered the door.
Nice.
And I was like, hi, I'm here. And, went inside, fell asleep in my girlfriend's bed. Apparently, in the middle of the night, decided to stand up, open the top drawer of her nightstand, and pee in it, and then close it. Get back into bed. And when she asked what happened, nothing. Go back to bed. Well, the next day was the first day of school for the in college.
Right.
Well, I, of course, couldn't go. And my hands, and I know hopefully people can understand this, they were like a cerebral palsy kind of in this crippling state.
They're stuck.
I could not open them. If I tried to open them, they would go back to this state for 2 days. So I had to miss 2 days of class. Got kicked out of two of my five classes. So almost got kicked out of college for a semester. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, everybody.
Party!
Amber, 23, in Irvine. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Tell us about your 21st birthday.
Well, I had a party at my apartment, and I was drunk. Everybody was drunk, and these girls and a couple people went into my bathroom with some 151.
Mm-hmm.
And girls that I didn't invite, by the way. And they're pretty stupid. They're like, hey, let's film, you know, us taking shots of 151 and lighting them on fire. So,
well, nothing could go wrong with that plan.
Yeah, they light the shots, and they've each had, like, one wine cooler, so they're pretty drunk, mind you. And they're like, ah, fire! And they throw the fire. I wasn't in there, but it's all on tape. The rug, my towels, my walls.
Really?
My entire bathroom is on fire. Yes, and it all came out of my security deposit.
Awesome.
Oh, that's horrible. Fantastic.
So I mean, horrible, right? That's what I mean, horrible.
Did the fire?
Yeah.
Did they have to call the fire department, or you guys put it out yourself?
No, we put it out ourselves, and my manager actually didn't even know about it until I moved out.
You must be cute, then, because he's not looking at your bathroom. Hey, did the girls, I'm surprised they didn't throw the 151 on the flame to get it to settle down.
Oh, my God.
I'm surprised they didn't. All right, hold on for a Kevin Amin t-shirt. Thank you. All right, let's go to Tracy in Irvine. Hi there.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Tracy.
You got a good 21st birthday.
No. As everyone was singing happy birthday to me, my parents threw me this huge big party. All my friends and family were there. I asked my best friend not to bring this jerk of a guy that she was dating, and he was starting fights at every event that we ever went to. So I said, don't bring him. And sure enough, she brought him. And as my mom was cutting the cake, he started a fight. Things started to get crazy. He grabbed the cake knife from my mom. She struggled with him. He cuts her hand.
Your mom's hand?
My mom. And he rips the cake knife from her hand. He takes it over his head to go stab the guy that he was fighting. About 10 guys jump him. They start beating the crap out of him. He rolls down this hill out front of the place we're at. He jumps in his car, and it was a really tiny little parking lot area, and he starts to do ping pong in the driveway with, like, six different cars.
Just
bang, 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 bang. Oh, God, bang. Really?
He takes off. The cops show up. Whole night's ruined.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. I mean, that you should have been on Cops. That one should have made the TV. That is great.
Tracy's mom got knifed at her 21st birthday party.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
Hey, we're going to give you a Kevin Amin t-shirt. That'll make up for it. Hold on.
Now that makes the pain go away, like many years later, getting a ratty old t-shirt.
Your mom got knifed. Erica, you hold on. We're definitely going to get to you, but we're going to wait a second. Susie in Pasadena. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you.
On my 21st birthday, we went to a restaurant, and I hadn't eaten all day, so they gave me shots of tequila. Ugh. And then we decided to go to a club, and they took my car, of course, just in case I puked, but I wasn't driving.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got to the club, they opened the passenger door. I was in the front passenger seat, and my brain said, get out, but my body didn't respond. So when I started to get out, I just fell flat on my face. on the sidewalk. And then when we got to the club, I was too drunk to go in. But my friends still wanted to, of course, celebrate. So they said, you stay outside and we'll just keep an eye on you.
So they went
in, like, windows.
They went inside the club and partied, and you had to stay outside.
I had to stay outside because I was too drunk. And I think that I sat down on the curb, but I don't really remember. But they told me that after a little while they were in the club, a guy came in saying, okay, there's a girl passed out in the gutter.
Oh, not in the gutter. You're sleeping in the gutter on your 21st birthday.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Good friends there.
Hold on for a Kevin Amin t-shirt, Susie, okay? Don't go away.
Are we learning anything from the calls today?
Yeah, don't drink on an empty stomach, people. Eat a little something. All right, let's end this one with Erica, because Erica from Ucaipa, I think, pretty much has the worst 21st birthday ever.
Okay.
Erica, good morning.
Good morning. Well, my 21st birthday was September 11th, 2001.
There you go.
Oh,
ladies
no.
and gentlemen. Good
party.
Times.
So did you have gigantic plans for that night? And did they all fall through because no one felt like partying because it was September 11th?
Pretty much. No reason to celebrate.
Yeah. You were just sitting there going...
Yeah, not today.
21.
No.
Oh, tomorrow. Do it tomorrow.
You were sitting there that like everyone else that night, just in front of your television set. So I can't believe this is happening to me, right?
Wow. Absolutely.
Well, that blows. We're going to give you a t-shirt, though. That'll make it all better.
depends on what kind of Batman you like.
That's what it depends on. If you like the serious,
you being wrong.
If you like the serious acting side, you go with Christian Bale.
No,
best Batman ever.
It has to do with context. If you pick up a 1965 copy of Batman comic book,
right,
and you pick up a modern Batman comic book, you tell me which one seems as if he's walked right out of the comic book onto the screen. That's what we're talking about.
Right.
Perfection in the role. That's what we're talking about.
If you want a comic characterization of Batman, you go with Adam West. If you want a real characterization of a great dude that could be Batman, you go with Christian
But the characterization
Bale.
Of Batman in 1965 was what Adam West was doing. That's what the comic book was at the time.
Right.
He perfectly embodied that.
In 1965,
better,
it was great.
Better than Christian Bale does.
Christian Bale is the best Batman ever.
No, it's just not true.
Oh,
it's the Kevin Abid Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. This argument got started during yesterday's Showbiz Beat when Ralph was talking about the upcoming Justice League of America movie. We started talking about some of the casting decisions that have been announced. Then we started wondering who's going to play Batman, and then we talked about Christian Bale, who Kevin erroneously thinks is the best Batman
best
ever.
Best Batman ever by far.
And then Ralph points out that really everyone is a pretender to the throne. Everyone who's ever put on the bat suit since Adam West is basically just trying to either not be him or be just like him because he nailed it. It was perfect.
It's Sean Connery and James Bond. It is the definitive take on the role, and everything else is variation.
No, it isn't. It's not like Sean Connery and James Bond because Sean Connery and James Bond was a real role and he played it real. Adam West was a comic book character. He played it for schmaltz. He played it for...
He had two levels of a performance going. He had the action-adventure stuff for the kids, and then grown-ups could appreciate the comedy level of it.
It was cheesy as hell.
And comedy's much harder to play than drama, by the way.
Maybe, but if you want a real Batman, you go with Christian Bale. You don't
but
go
I'm
with the cheesy
you, that
comic
was the
book
real
character.
Batman.
Then, 1965
So
goes.
How can you knock his performance for being exactly what the comic book character was?
I don't think Kevin's knocking his performance because, like you said, at that time he embodied what Batman was about. But at this time, if you were to pick up current Batman comic books and the graphic novels, I think that Christian Bale embodies the current Batman very well. If you're putting it in context, that you got to make the comparison to time.
I'm not knocking Christian Bale as if he's horrible. You know, he's not.
Well, of course, he's the best.
He's not the best, though. That's what I'm
saying. He's no George Clooney.
Best.
Adam West is the greatest actor performance
Adam West
of the Caped Crusader ever.
Adam West is the 72 Miami Dolphins, and other great football teams have come and gone, but you know what? They're not perfect.
Adam West saved the character of Batman. They were going to cancel the comic book series until that TV show hit the airwaves.
That's great.
There would be no Batman if it wasn't for Adam
West. That's great in 1965.
And the success in that performance.
But that's because they hadn't seen Christian Bale by then.
It's just, you can't say that Adam West did not cement that role on television in terms of live-action performance for forever.
I can't.
He's the guy.
I can agree with you on that, and yet Christian Bale came along and did it better.
No, it didn't.
No. If you could only have one,
Christian Bale.
Well,
Christian Bale
wrong.
By far.
I gave you an out. Yeah, I gave you an out.
Exactly. Josh and Torrance, good morning.
Hey, what about Michael Keaton?
I thought he was fine. I thought he was good.
He was fine.
But he's not the best.
He's no Adam West.
Come on, for God's sake. He's no Christian Bale.
I thought Kilmer was good, too. I thought Val Kilmer did a good job.
He was all right, but he's not the best, like Christian Bale.
The problem, guys,
so
is
you're
when you get
in the film versus the character versus the actor. That's what you're saying. You like the Batman Begins movie best because it's probably the best representation of the modern take on the character.
And
Christopher Nolan did a great job with the film.
Yes, and I didn't watch the TV series.
I don't think you can separate the performance versus the project here is what you need to do.
Performance versus the project.
Adam West embodied that character 100%, where Christian Bale did a fine job in a good movie.
I'm going to suggest that you like Christian Bale best because it's really the only one you remember.
Well, that's possible.
Kevin likes everything yesterday. It has to be modern for him to get on board. He does not like classic.
I've seen all the movies, and I did watch the series in reruns, and I think Adam West was fine. But as far as a billionaire playboy who anonymously at night fights crime, I thought Christian Bale had that like romantic allure, and he had that playboy essence about him, whereas Adam West, like Kevin said, is kind of campy.
Adam West, campy, small screen. Christian Bale,
but isn't campy
real,
as if it was accidental.
Big screen.
He accidentally was campy in the role. That was the purpose of the role.
I agree.
He committed. He articulated exactly what they were trying to do to a perfect level.
I, I agree with you, and I'm not, again, like, you're not knocking Christian Bale. I'm in no way knocking Adam West. I'm saying that if there's a guy who yet had picked to be the real Batman, out of all the people that have ever portrayed him, I think Christian Bale hit it on
the
nose.
Well, there's no real Batman, so that's really not part of the conversation, I don't think.
The problem with Psycho Mike being on my side is he just wants to have sex with Christian Bale.
Right.
Well, that's true.
So that doesn't help me at all.
But in his defense, I desperately want to make love to Adam West. So.
two things, because we're running desperately late on time. We're very, very busy here this morning. Thing one is, could Christian Bale have done this?
Adam West. Adam West.
No.
But he wants softer now. Adam West. Adam West.
He's a cartoon.
Adam
thing,
West. Adam West.
Thing two is, exactly. Is there any way to decide this? Is there any answer to get a definitive
I wish we knew a
decision.
Decider. I wish we knew a decider.
Mine's the final decision.
Decision.
I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider. 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 And I decide what is best.
When life's mysteries seem unsolvable, when the hard questions demand a final answer, America turns to the one man we can all trust. He's Kevin Smith, and he's the decider.
Mr. Smith?
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
Kevin Smith.
First off, let's say for the record that nobody has done a bad job playing Batman. If you go through the list of the Tim Burton movies, if you go back to the TV show, Adam West.
Clooney was pretty gay.
No, even Clooney was good. I mean, Clooney was in a gay film.
All right.
But his performance, I mean, George Clooney is fantastic in everything.
Are we right. trying? There's no Timothy Dalton in the Batman.
No, there's no George Lazenby. Either.
Right.
But are we trying to compare to...
And also, you guys didn't give props to Kevin Conroy, who voiced him on Batman, the animated series.
And in my opinion, the best performance of the character across the board, but we're not talking about the animation.
Right.
Unfortunately, I don't know anything about that. All right. Kevin, Christian Bale, Adam West.
Those are my only two choices?
Best of all time.
I can't go the Ooh. Obvious or the truth, which is Michael Keaton.
Wow.
Whoa.
Kevin Smith going off the board.
You wow.
Look at that.
Michael Keaton still hands down. And look, I loved Christian Bale's performance, but to me, Michael Keaton really nailed Bruce Wayne. He didn't look like Bruce Wayne in terms of have the physical physicality, the imposing, you know, stature
right.
of a Bruce Wayne / Batman. But, you know, the suit took care of it. Right. Suit that I would have, the suit that even I would have looked muscular in.
Kevin, what about Keaton's performance nailed it for you? What did he do differently?
You need to look no further than there's a moment. It's like a 3-second moment, throwaway moment in Batman Returns, the second Tim Burton Batman movie, mm-hmm. when he's in the sewers driving the bat skiff to confront the Penguin right. in his underground lair.
Yeah. Right.
Two penguins emerge from the water with missiles on their back.
Mm-hmm.
They launch at him. Batman does a quick left or right, and the skiff kind of does a round-the-round
right.
on the tunnel, and the missiles completely miss the bat skiff.
Right.
As the skiff rights itself, there's a kind of medium close-up on Keaton as Batman, and he does the most subtle look back. Like, doesn't turn his head or anything. They can't because that outfit was kind of sure. tough to maneuver in, but he gives this subtle look back with his eyes, and doesn't give this overt expression, but the subtle look back in his eyes that says, I can't believe this is my life. I was almost killed by two missile-toting penguins.
It sounds like you've spent some time in slow-mo there, Kevin.
That is a fantastic moment that defines that character. And also, you know, you go to the first Batman movie, the first Tim Burton one, when he's playing Bruce Wayne at the opening party. You know, there's the opening scene, of course, where he has the two... the muggers on the roof, and
right,
he
right.
says, I'm
right.
Batman, and jumps off the roof. Then there's the party, the benefit, charity benefit at Wayne Manor, mm-hmm. and his performance as Bruce Wayne I thought was fantastic, because he's just so not in touch with everyone else. He's so uncomfortable in the Bruce Wayne persona. You can tell at the party, he's a dude that's just longing to be dressed in the Batman suit, because that's who he is. You know,
so you're
Bruce
saying Wayne's we go to the right guy.
Adam West, Christian Bale, not either of them. Number one.
Going for Keaton.
Michael I go with Keaton. But, I mean, again, it's all minor degrees of separation. It's not like, you know, Michael Keaton is miles above everyone else. To me, he's the best. But I don't think any of them have turned in a bad performance. However, I will say for the record that back in 88 when they started shooting the movie, since Tim Burton was directing, I thought the alumnus that he would choose from one of his previous movies, he went with Michael Keaton from Beetlejuice. I always thought Alec Baldwin, circa 88, would have been the perfect Batman Bruce Wayne.
He was pretty studly.
Interesting.
I mean, it was. They tested the theory later on when he starred in The Shadow, which, as we all know, is kind of similar. Lamont
right.
Cranston, The Shadow.
Right.
But, you know, it's not, the script wasn't quite the same. But I always thought he would have been a great choice, his delivery.
All right.
Once again, the man gives us way more than we possibly even knew we needed, and we liked it.
And for all your Batman needs for this holiday season,
yes.
Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash on Pico Boulevard, right here in very own Los Angeles, in the heart of Laser Blazer, the best DVD store on the planet.
There you go.
If you want comic books, you want Batman, anything, that's the place to go. And you can buy a DVD while you're there.
Where are you today, The Decider?
I was in Pittsburgh until last night. We're in pre-production on Zach and Miri Make a Porno. But I came home for a friend of mine, Brian Lynch, getting married, and so I came home for his wedding.
Well, and by the way, the announcement finally made that Seth Rogen will be starring in that for
That's
you.
Right. Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks. Says, yeah, we got lucky, man. It's huge for us.
How hot is
that's
Elizabeth awesome. Banks, by the way?
She's great.
She's
fantastic.
She's so hot and so talented.
You need to hit that, Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm married.
Me?
Whatever.
I hit nothing except my fist and my wife.
All right. Those just joining us, you've been hanging on the edge of your chair. Is it Adam West or is it Christian Bale? The answer, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Keaton. He is the decider. And once again, he comes through. Thank you, Kevin. Happy holidays to you, my friend.
Guys.
Thank
Bye.
You, man. I want to make sure I understand the new rules here. You're telling me we can't say scumbag on the radio because of a fear of a fine, yet we're still allowed to have the Armenian comedian on the air?
But
that doesn't seem right.
But only a very, very, very limited amount of time. He's on hold, and we don't have to put him on the air too terribly much. I've learned. Look, I know. I love the Armenian comedian. I could talk to him from 6 o'clock till 10 o'clock every single day, and I would think it would be the best show that I have ever done in my life. But I understand that there's many, many of you that just completely disagree with me, and I'm getting used to that. It's okay.
Right.
I'm fine with that. But I would like you to do something for me right now. I would like you to go to thearmeniancomedian.com. Go to that site. Right
he
now.
He has a website.
TheArmenianComedian.com.
Oh, my God.
Type that in, and what comes up is this picture of Sam without his hair. He's bald.
Hey, that's a beauty shot.
Mm-hmm. And he's pointing to each side of his temple with his hands. And he's got a lovely, lovely sweater on. And it says TheArmenianComedian.com, and right underneath it is the big headline, From Radio and TV Broadcast to Your Bedroom.
How is he in my bedroom?
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
That's his main slogan, from TV and radio broadcast to your bedroom. What does he? What's that mean?
Think we only listen to the radio in our bedroom?
Look, this is Bean speaking. I'm the last guy who ought to be allowed to ask this question, but why the hell does Sam need a website?
Yes, fine. Hey, Sam?
Hey.
Well, first of all, why do you need a website?
Oh, because I'm celebrity. Soon I'm going to be all over.
He has a good point. He has a good
all
point.
All over what?
Now, Sam, my question for you is, it says TheArmenianComedian.com, from radio and TV broadcast to your bedroom.
Oh, because most of the computers are in bedrooms.
Oh.
Is that true, Sam? I've not seen any survey on that.
It's not in the living room, of course.
Oh, I see.
Not in the dining room.
Okay, so that's what you were referring to, is that you thought everybody has their computer in their bedroom, so that's where you are.
Right.
Okay, I didn't know if it was some kind of sexual innuendo or what you were talking about.
You can say that, too, if you want.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay. Now, Sam, for folks who don't listen very often or haven't been listening for long, is an all-around entertainer. He's a true Renaissance man. He's a singer in a band. He, of course, is a very accomplished comedian. He's a children's entertainer. He's a clown. He really does it all. And you're going to keep us up to date with everything you've got going on in the world of the Armenian comedian with your new website, right?
Yeah. right now, it's on a construction situation.
Sure.
So I'm going to start selling my T-shirt, the Armenian Comedian T-shirt.
What is it? Is it a slogan or just your picture? Or what is it?
A slogan.
Slogan. What's the slogan?
TheArmenianComedian.com, and then all the variety of menu that I'm going to provide in the future.
But
like, for example, play recorder like Sam.
What?
You know.
You're going to teach people how to play the recorder?
Right.
Oh, because TheArmenianComedian.com is not a slogan.
It's a way of life?
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, it says on your website, home to Sam the Armenian Comedian, heard on LA's 106.7 K-Rock FM. Can you take that off?
I can't.
Yeah,
I'm already there.
I know, but our lawyers have contacted us. Yeah, and yeah. No, no, and uh-huh. They told us that you're not allowed to use this without our permission.
Yeah.
Well, I need a permission then.
Sorry.
Well,
man,
you need to fill. There's so much paperwork yeah. You're going to have to fill out.
Apologize for that.
Yeah, this will be tied up in the courts for years. Yeah. I'm sorry. You just have to remove it between now and then.
And seen on ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live show. I'm sure he'll be calling you soon. Then the next thing is current projects, and he's got the Sam's Rock and Roll Revolution Band.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of you have heard Sam's Rock and Roll Revolution Band, but which one is I Just Want to Love You?
Right.
That's
and
the best song ever.
I just want to forget you, baby. And I know it's impossible.
Come on.
It's magic.
Come on with that. Where's Stop Spraying Bullets? Give me Stop Spraying Bullets.
Wake up, teenagers. Don't play with the guns.
Don't play with the guns.
Stop playing with the guns. Spray the bullets on each other.
That's right. Stop spraying the bullets on each other, teenagers.
Yes.
Wow.
That's the message that I think we need to get out today. This is so wonderful, Sam. Now, what is, it says 106.7 K-Rock FM, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Adelphia Public Access Station. I guess you do a show on there.
Yeah.
What is Ding Dong Show?
Speaking the what show?
It says Ding Dong Show. What is that?
Yeah, the Ding Dong Show is the one that I do in the Comedy Store with Tom Barrett.
That's the one at the Comedy Store where on Monday nights or something like that, where he calls it the Ding Dong Show because people like you get on stage and try to be funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if you are not good, they ding dong you out.
Got it.
How many times have you been ding dong, Sam?
Yeah. I haven't been ding dong at all.
Please.
They don't gong you? You sure they don't gong you?
They don't gong me. I want to get off the stage. They keep me on the stage.
Because you're too funny.
Yeah, I'm too funny, and I do each time different thing. And the other characters, they do the same thing over and over again.
Sam, they don't have the talent that you have, the well to draw from.
That's right, you got depth. What's Sam's documentary movie that you write about on your site? What's that? Is that new?
That is, it's going to come out soon about my documentary, yes.
Okay. Look at that guy that was following you around with the camera. He's making a documentary about your life?
Yes.
Okay, now here's what kills us and what we find very funny is on the very last page where it says contact Sam, you give your pager phone number?
Yes.
You give your home telephone number?
Yes.
Your office telephone number, your email. He gives all of his own personal information out.
Sam, you can't give out your home. You can't put your home phone number on the internet. That can only lead to bad things.
Oh, I don't think so. People love me.
Okay, 818-843-4013.
Sam, you've got a wife and children, though.
Could you mention my pager number to
people? Sure, pager number is 818-233-0553. Again, the home number, though, write this down, people, if you'd like to call up and say hi to Sam any time of the day or night. Here's the number, 818-843-4013.
Right.
Sam, why do you want people, in this case, K-Rock listeners, calling you at home, though? How is that good for you?
It is so wonderful because I love my fans.
There's a call waiting right there.
You love your fans. But, I mean, do you want them calling you at all hours of the night just to say hello? Or shouldn't you really just have a contact number for people who want to interview you or people who want to sign you up?
They're already calling me. I got second line coming.
We know. That's what happens when we give out your number, you moron. It's 818-843-4013. Use it all day long to tell Sam how much you love him.
Kevin, you just want people to bother me, right?
No. I want you to talk to your fans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sam, you put your...
I want to have your... Make me a breakfast for me, please.
What are you talking about? You want us to make a breakfast for you?
Oh, you mean, I want a breakfast with you.
You mean a breakfast show with you?
Yes.
Yeah. Listen, you're cutting out.
Hey, Sam, I wanted to ask you one more thing because the other part of the website, and I understand it's still under construction, but Sam's recipes are coming soon?
Yes.
And is that going to include your special brownies?
A special, very good Armenian recipes that my mom used to cook. Mm-hmm. I'm going to spread all over.
Okay, but what about the special brownies?
Brownies? Oh, yeah. I'm going to put some herb in there, too.
I thought you would.
Yeah,
okay.
The special brownies. All right, Sam, have you smoked out today yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
If you want to find out...
Pretty soon, though. He said pretty soon,
can
though.
Can I ask you a favor? I want to sing Friday Morning with you guys. Roll another one.
Yeah,
just
you know,
like the other one.
You know what's happened this week, Sam? It's really weird is that we're doing that on Saturday. So be here at about 9:30 on Saturday.
Okay, got you.
Bye-bye now.
All right, we'll see you Saturday. All right. If you want to find out if Sam has smoked out 10 minutes from now, call 818-843-4013. That's his home number.
727. Hang on one second.
Hello?
Sam.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
How's it going, buddy?
Yes, sir. A lot of phone calls are coming.
Are they? A lot of people are calling you?
Yes.
And what are they saying?
They say, "What's up, Doug? Where is the joint?"
Fantastic. Well, let's give your number again. It's 818-843-4013.
Yes.
Okay, Sam. Good luck, buddy.
Buddy, thank you, Kevin.
You betcha. Bye-bye now.
Kevin.
No. Sorry. Gotta go. Big name on the other line.
What is he thinking, giving out his hope vote over on the air? That's crazy.
He's not ever been accused of being smart.
No.
He's so happy. He is.
He's loving it. Finally, get some attention. Why is the Food Network the hottest channel in America all of a sudden? What the hell's going on?
Well, they're bad on a lot of levels.
Or good.
Last hour we were talking about this Rachel Ray, who I know nothing about.
Yeah.
But Omar hates so much he cut her picture out of a box of Wheat Thins. Now we're going to talk about, we played a commercial the last couple of days, and it's really, really difficult to ignore it when we play commercials like this. I mean, we listen to it and we say, no.
This can't be true.
No possible way. There is...
Oh. Ace of Base, right? We're talking about Ace of Base?
No. The Ace of Cakes, Bean. It's the Ace of Cakes.
Yeah, not the same thing.
Oh, I misunderstood. This is the guy who calls himself the Ace of Cakes we're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. He's the bad boy of baking.
Ooh.
All right. Well, let's hear his commercial. What's
Listen
he all about?
To this.
What do you get when you mix one part rocker with one part welder? And oh yeah, throw in a pastry bag. Meet Doug. There's no cake he can't make. Follow the life of Food Network's bad boy baker in an original series that takes the cake and blows it up.
Okay.
Duff.
So,
really?
Duff is the bad boy of baking.
I didn't know such a thing existed.
There's no cake he can't make. Let's say good morning to Duff Goldman. Good morning, Duff.
Okay, all right. Oh, listen, Duff, doing a radio show, you're going to have to watch your language. But we do have it right.
Hey, man, I'm the bad boy cakes, man. I'm the ace of cakes.
Okay, but aren't you just making cakes? I mean, you can be as bad a boy as you want, but at the end of the day, it's really just a piece of cake, right?
Oh, man, I play by my own rules.
But
I'm not the normal baker. I'm the bad boy of bakers, man.
What makes you the bad boy of baking?
Man, I don't play by your rules.
What? I don't have any rules for baking.
I make my cakes my way.
Right.
Sometimes I'll make a cake and it needs flour.
Yeah.
I use unsifted flour, man.
Oh, my God. Now I see
That's
where
crazy.
You're coming from.
I'm an outlaw.
But isn't the point of these shows, these cooking shows, and the point of just making a cake, isn't it just to make a cake that sounds, that smells good, tastes good, looks good?
That's it. Oh, you don't get it. I'm expressing myself through my cakes.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you need drills and chainsaws to make a cake. Just get yourself a cake pan and a spatula and a measuring cup.
Because I'm f***ing insane, man. I'm the ace of cakes. I'm the bad boy of baking.
But, Duff.
Sometimes I'll preheat an oven. It's supposed to be 350. I'll go 355, 400. I don't care, man.
Wow.
But then, you're crazy.
Don't you burn the cake?
Shut up, bitch! I can do what I want. I'm the ace of cakes.
All right, listen.
I'm a tyrant and it must be dealt with.
Listen, Duff, here's the thing. Cake, it seems like baking to me falls in the same category of, I don't know, sleeping or meditation or having afternoon tea. There's no bad boy of any of that stuff.
Oh, you don't know shit, man.
How do you do that?
Oh, man, I don't care, man, because I'm crazy. I play by my own rules. Hey, right now, I've got a souffle in the oven.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't care about the noise, man. Let it fall.
if I were to have a blind taste test between a cake that you make and a cake that, say, Rachel Ray, who's also got a show on your network.
Rachel Ray?
Listen,
oh, geez.
Listen,
that's
Duff,
not what we're talking about at all.
Duff, we have to watch our language. We're on the radio.
I put my chocolate log right in her oven, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Duff. Who's a better cook, though? Whose cake would taste better is my question to you.
Mine, man, because mine's built with insanity. I'm the extra ingredient, man. Craziness.
All right, well, it sounds...
Sometimes I make a bundt cake.
Yeah?
I don't even put nonstick spray in the pan.
Are you kidding me?
Stick. I don't care, man. I'm the ace of cakes. I'm a card that must be dealt with.